Okay, welcome to Monday night's call. It's Monday. Let's see, what is the date? Today is the 31st, isn't it? Yep, March 31st. Tomorrow's the 1st. Anyway, welcome to the call. We're probably not going to be on the full 3 hours tonight. We're going to try to close down maybe in an hour or two at the most, only because we have a lot of paperwork to finish off for tomorrow. We're going up to see the sheriff in Columbia County. And I got to get all this stuff done, and we got a radio program tomorrow morning, and then we got to get up there. We just got a lot to do. So anyway, so we're going to probably close down a little early tonight. Let me do the best I can to give you a quick update of where we're at, what we're doing. We have had a couple of meetings last week to let everyone know that the 7th is off. So we will not be going to the courts on the 7th. Our new focus date right now is tentatively the 22nd. I originally wanted to do it the following week for a 14th, and that became a problem because that week turns out to be a holiday week. It's Passover
and Easter.
And then there's Easter. So then we went with the 24th. We were thinking the 21st, which is the following Monday, but that's one day after Easter, and who knows, these courts may try to close down for a long weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So we pushed it over till Tuesday, the 22nd. We will confirm that this week, that date, as far as the courts being open. And so we're kind of pushed out. This is beyond our control. Now, we were going to go down to see the sheriff today, but we couldn't make it because, everybody had different things, appointments and different things going on today at different times, and we just couldn't get an act together where we would go down, sign papers, and then go see the sheriff. So we're planning to do that tomorrow. So we will have an update on that at a later time. Later, we will update everybody by email, and, of course, we'll give the big update on following Monday. Let's see. Gerard, can you call Ken Kramer and see what he wants? Because maybe he's trying to get in or something.
Yeah, okay.
He's calling
yep.
here and I can't answer him.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, where was I? So we'll give the updates next Monday where we're at. But we will do an email update. Now, there are some people that, and we haven't had many, one or two people asking, matter of fact, at least two people, asking to be removed from our mailing list. We have our mailing list. We have different mailing lists, and the mailing list that we're talking about particularly are the people who are registered on the site. And anybody that wants to be removed from that mailing list needs to remove themselves. Of course, to get removed from the mailing list, you need to remove yourself from the site. I don't know why anybody would want to be removed from the mailing list if we're active. This is, we need to tell people what's going on. We don't send a lot of mail out. When we do send mail out, some people get quite a few emails because we'll send it to the meetups. We'll send it through the mailing list on the from the site. And then we have a leaders list, which I send it out through that. And so you might get two or three or four emails pretty much saying the same thing. But they'll all come in one cluster, and that'll be it. And we don't send emails out every day. And I would think maybe we average maybe one a week. Some weeks we may do a couple, and some weeks we may not do any. So I don't think it's any more than 4 a month. So if anybody's bothered by that, I don't know what to tell them. But if you want to get removed off the emailing list, that's how you do it. Anybody who wants to be a county organizer and didn't check the box when they came in, all they have to do is go to the top and click on My Account and then click on Edit, and then you'll be able to make changes in your account. You can put yourself on as a county organizer, or if you decided that you didn't want to be a county organizer, you can take yourself off as a county organizer. We know a lot of people that do not click that as the county organizer. They are helping us anyway, and they're involved, and they're active, and that's good. And they don't have to have their name up as a county organizer. But some people who may have didn't hit the box and they want to do that, they can do that. We do still need some state coordinators in a few states. I did get some messages from a couple of people, I think Dakota, North Dakota, and some other state. I'm going to try to get to them and make them state coordinators. But we still have maybe about maybe a 10 or a dozen states that don't have state coordinators. Any state that doesn't have a state coordinator, you'll go and look, and you'll see there's not much activity going on because there's no one there to whip them around and whip them up and get them going and communicating and pushing and moving and talking and getting meetings going. There's no activity. If there's no activity, we're not going to build. We're not going to do anything. So it's important to get active. It's important to come to the Monday night meeting. It's important for each state to have their own meetings, even if they're coming together for a half hour. Right now, the big part of the meeting is a discussion of some things that you might want to focus in as a group to study, and whatever you want to talk about, those kind of things, of course, studying, and also organizing. This is a time of organizing, constituting, and studying. That's what this time is for. And when your whole state is constituted, hopefully you've been organized. Well, then you've probably organized, but you hopefully have been studying because you need to be prepared for dealing with these people. And, leaders in many areas will arise out from amongst us, people who have been studying common law, have some knowledge of court procedure and process, and they'll just arise from amongst us and help to lead us until we all have the understanding and knowledge of these things. I made some changes on the site. I changed the judicial tab to courses and essays. And I'm adding things in there. I'm putting all the courses in one place. If you want to know what education you need, you go to courses and essays. There's your education, everything under that tab. If you want to know what a jury should know and how to get a jury going in your county and organizing, then you go to the jurors tab on the far right. So those are the two most important tabs, in my opinion, is the jurors tab. For learning about being a jurist, everyone that's become a jurist should know everything on these pages. They should go through them, okay? And everyone that really wants to bone up and become, administrators for the grand jury, and there's four for each county we need, well, then they should be going to these courses and taking these courses. And, of course, just if you want to learn and not necessarily be an administrative course, you should go to these courses. So anyway, those are the two big things. So people should spend a lot of time there. Our Monday night call tab, as everybody should probably know, is up on the top left side. Whenever we have a meeting, the chat room is always open. I'm sure people are in the chat right now. Gerard, are you in the chat room, by the way? So I'm sure we've got chat activity going right now. If there are any questions coming from the chat, Gerard can ask. So anyway, getting back to where we're at, we're changing the date tentatively to the 22nd. We will hope to stabilize that date before the week is out. We're going to see the sheriff tomorrow to go through with him on what laws have been broken and break it down for him very simply. It should be a no-brainer for him because they broke a lot of codes, so that's what they should arrest him on the code breaking, which are criminal. And then from there, we will go up to the court clerk again, which they'll, probably will hope to get there when they're doing arrest, so that as they are arresting the clerk, we're going to place our papers onto the counter and see who's in charge and see once if they want to be arrested also, or they're just going to take our papers. We've had it with the nonsense. And then we're going to walk those papers right up to the court, and we're going to do the same thing in the court. With the court clerk. Are you going to take these papers or do you want to be arrested like the guy that was just arrested today? So, of course, we're assuming we're going to get an arrest. I don't see how he can not arrest. I'd be very surprised. But then we do have a couple other plans to do with that, which we don't want to talk about at the moment. So other than that, I guess that's really the update in a nutshell. It's kind of short from the normal time. We usually get into a few things. One other thing. We do have now 6 constituted states. And I understand we have Arizona coming very close behind. They should be coming constituted very soon. Pennsylvania shouldn't be too far off either. Maryland is moving very close behind. Let's see, what else? Oh, by the way, I think we had someone who stepped up to be a state coordinator for Delaware. I don't think we had a state coordinator for Delaware. That was the other state. So I'll have to get back to that person and get them into the, onto the page. But anyway, there's a lot of other states. I haven't looked a lot of them up, but I have spoke to some people, but I happen to know those states are moving. So really, in the next week or two, we should have at least three or four more states popping up here. So we got six, and if we have two or three more, we're going to have eight or nine or maybe ten, maybe by next week, hopefully, or the week after. Those states, those counties where people have not went out and constituted their grand juries, they need to go do that. This is not a big thing. It's a very simple thing. It's just a meeting, showing a few videos, having a raising of the hand, and talking to people about it, signing the papers. It's done. It's not a big thing. You do not have to file it with the county nor with the court yet. You can wait on that, but get them constituted. This is the time to get organized. Get your counties constituted. Get your education going. And get well organized, not only in your county, but also in your state. And be looking out for the four individuals who are really boning up on common law and procedure that really want to take on these positions. And so we need these people to rise up from amongst us in every county to take those four positions. That's the key to what we're doing, is the administrative process. Everyone else that's signing up goes into a pool. It's a jury pool. And you will be called from time to time. And if you can't serve, that's fine. You know, we'll, maybe next time, no big deal. But generally speaking, we should try to make ourselves available to serve. And when we exhaust the people within our county, we will then go into the voting rolls, and we will take people from there. Now, I was listening to a study. It's on, what's the name of this? I'm looking for it now. Oh, Trial by Jury, okay, by Lysander Spooner. And I had listened to a couple of chapters, and I haven't had the time to really get back to it, but I took a long trip this weekend. This past weekend, I went out to New Hampshire to help get those counties constituted. And so I had a 3.5-hour drive each way. There was 7 hours in the car. And so I had the opportunity to listen to this trial by jury, and I got quite deep into it. And if you really want to know the history of the jury, and you want to understand everything about the jury, how far it goes back, and it goes back thousands of years, by the way. This goes back long before England. It goes into the Germanic tribes. And brought into England very early. And I picked up a few things I didn't realize before. The king always had a jury. That's why he talked about the king and his entourage. You know, he always had a jury. And the juries were the one that really made the decisions in the courts. And his will was the command of everyone else by his signature, because he's representing the sovereign. That's how they did it. And then some kings got out of hand, and, you know, it just goes on and on, you know, how tyrants go, and they creep in and they take over, and we have a problem. I believe we're going to be able to fix our problem, and if by God's mercy we can fix our problem, then I think if we're very careful, we will be able to protect ourselves from tyrants just by making sure that we are active. It's that simple. The people have always got to be active. Active in the juries. We have to participate in the jury process. Now, what we are about to do, you know, this is the big thing right here in New York, what we're doing right now. And it's going to be a big battle, a lot of pressure on a lot of people here, even ourselves, but, of course, a lot of pressure on the enemy. But they're going to retaliate in ways, you know, this way or that way. I'm sure they're going to try to do something. So there's pressure on us also, and we do want to ask for the prayers of everyone across the nation that God might be merciful. And also, you know, we all need to be talking to the Lord about ourselves, making sure we're right with the Lord, because if we're not right with the Lord, he certainly is not going to bless our work. Remember, our founding fathers were pretty wise about this, and if you read their writings, they talked about God often, and they made the point that this was by his will, and only by his grace. And, you know, just by reading the Constitution, the preamble to the Constitution, it talks about the purpose of government is to secure certain things. And then one of the main things, there's a few things up in the preamble, one of the main things was to secure the blessings of liberty. Key word, blessings of liberty. Liberty comes only by blessings. It does not come, you can't achieve, if you think you can have liberty without God, you're fooling yourself. And, I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, you will have government, and I think it was him, but you will have government by tyrants or God. That's it. You know, you will be ruled over by tyrants or God. That's what you'll have. So if you're not ruled over by God, and it isn't God that's the head of this whole thing, that you have a bent knee to, that we're coming to this process through and with, then you're going to have men in his place. And men will always eventually turn over into tyrants. It's just the way it is. Look at history. Look what has happened constantly, over and over and over again. So anyway, everybody needs to work that out with their maker in their prayer closets. And we do need the prayers to make sure that, we can get through this time period and be successful. If we do his will and bend the knee, I believe he's going to bless the effort, and I think we're going to be successful. So, but the people need to stand up and do it. Okay, with that, I'm going to cut it short, and we'll go right into questions. I think the latest we're going to go tonight is 11 o'clock. We may cut out a little earlier. Again, we have paperwork to do, and we got to get to sleep, and we have a lot of things to do tomorrow, so we can't stay up too late here in New York. So 11 is the latest. So with that, let me go to 201 is the first person in the queue. Don't have a name for them. Let me click the button here. That's probably Jason from New Jersey. No, it took someone else off. Wireless caller 406 came in instead. I'll get the next one in a minute. 406, go right ahead.
Are you there?
Yep.
I was on mute, John.
Huh?
It's Anthony from West Virginia. Do you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Oh, good, good. I have a couple of things. We're moving along here, I'm wanting to post my meetings, every time I try and post my meeting on the site, it asks me a question that says I need to list something, and I don't know why it's happening, but it's timing me every time I try and post a meeting. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I don't know what that might be. I've posted meetings in the past, and I just don't remember, but I don't really post much up there. Maybe someone else, when they pick up the mic, if they know, they can explain.
Anybody,
I'll have to take a look into it later on another time, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Now, we had an interesting reference to something you didn't want to talk about on Friday. I was looking for that, and I was wondering if I was looking in the correct paper. Could you at least give me what paper I should be reading that in that has the subject that we don't want to talk about?
Yeah, that would be in the Quanto.
Which one now?
In the Quanto.
Okay. And do you have the date on that? Wasn't that the 25th?
Well, it was the 7th. It's now going to be the 22nd.
Okay.
April 22nd.
April 22nd. Yeah, but that's your court date. But what's the date of posting? Didn't you post a paper on that?
Oh, yeah. What date we posted it? I think it was the 24th or the 25th. I'm going to go take a look.
Yeah, they all were served with that. They got that.
Yeah, so it's one of the top items. It says writ of prohibition is the very top, the 26th,
okay.
And the Quanto was the 24th.
Okay, writ of prohibition. Okay, that's about all I need. I'm not going to take up too much time. I'm sure we could blow a lot of time talking about stuff, but that's all that's real important to me right now. We're getting a core group going here. I'm very enthused about what's happening in West Virginia, and so we're just moving along and praying to the Lord that He's with us and He's going to open the doors we need to have opened.
Well, amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll talk to you later, John. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. Okay, let me get into the Jersey call, 201. You've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
John, Jason from New Jersey. How you doing?
How you doing, Jason?
Fantastic. I'm glad everything's doing a fantastic job and numbers are coming up there. Really doing fantastic, folks. The last time I came in, it was 265, and it's ironic that that's a number 13. You're asking for the blessing of the Lord. Well, John, you have it more than you know. And I'm New Jersey's working with that, with the 13. It's so good that your number on a phone is 13. When God gives you signs, believe it. And I believe that we're doing a fantastic job. I mean, I just want you to know, John, that I'm going to be having some great things happen in Jersey. The I'm filing for the information for the rights of the county to prevent people from soliciting in the courthouse. I was almost arrested on the 20th. I'm going to be indicting the lawyer who incited my false arrest. And I'm also on it.
Well, you may bring it up before the grand jury for an indictment. You can't.
Oh, yeah, but I can do it.
Sure. But also, these are things we don't want to get involved with until we first save the republic within the states.
Well,
that's
and all this. Yeah, yeah. Well, again, this is this is what I'm taking care of, and he can do. You can take that and do that. I'm not. I'm doing this as a private person, but I have to do it. Everything with the NLA. I just want you. I called my county clerk.
Right, but I just want to make it clear to you and to others who listen to make sure. Maybe you mean one thing, and I'm misunderstanding. Maybe I do understand what you're saying, but just want to make it clear. This is extremely important. We are not doing any indictments on anyone while we're not in the courts. Until we get access into the courts, we can't do an indictment. Once we get access into the courts...
I don't need even an indictment. If someone doesn't follow the law that they are responsible for...
Oh, yeah, you could bring them into court under a common law.
That's exactly what
we're
doing. No,
but I actually have them arrested by the sheriff's department. I was threatened.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that's,
if you file
that's
a
fine.
Complaint, sure. You
listen,
can...
what you're doing is what we're doing down here up here in New York is exactly what we're doing.
Right.
We did file Coruantos and different things, but what we're doing is we're going to make criminal charges. We're going to demand that they arrest them. Now, this is a big deal because, you know, you got everybody in there, you know, all these people, all these actors.
Right.
And then, you know, ours is kind of kicked up because halfway down the rabbit hole, we put a case in to challenge the fact that the judge said that we can't file even a paperwork a case to challenge her right to say that, her
right.
authority, and so that's what we're doing here. And that, you know, we're looking for a criminal arrest of the people that interpreted her words as that. In other words,
as gospel. Well, I'm
right.
doing that now. I just want you to know. I try to reach out. I know we have to pay fees if there's a fee. I try to call my county deputy clerk. I told her it's common law grand jury. It has no filing in your system. It's unique. It's the Fifth Amendment right to file your common law grand jury.
No, you put it in miscellaneous. That's all.
I know, but she's not. She didn't have a miscellaneous.
Well, yeah, that's okay. You know, it doesn't matter. First of all, did you take it? You're talking about filing the declaration for the constituting of the grand jury.
Right. I just want to know.
Well, right, but what you need to do, yeah, I don't know if you've watched the videos on it, but what you need to do is you can't take it in. You have to mail it in with a
right.
return slip and a cover
right.
letter and a file on demand.
Right.
If they send it back, that's okay. Stick it in the file. You'll deal with it later. Once we get into the process, into the courtrooms, we'll then all personally walk it down and make them take it. And it'll be that simple. So... You know, don't worry too much if they don't receive the papers. You filed it. They know you're here, and that's all that counts at the moment. The actual taking and accepting of the files for filing it for a memorial, that can come a little later.
All right. Right. But I'm just saying that, again, the deputy was just adamant. No, it just has to be filed as disfiling. They don't have to categorize it. The whole point of their institution is the filing of documents.
Right, for a memorial. It's for a memorial. But listen, right. You said you're going to go in after somebody who did what? What did you say they did to you?
Well, I am in a court case with a fellow tenant,
mm-hmm.
and I was submitting papers, you know, the education papers for NLA. I had an officer, the deputy sheriff, came in and said I couldn't distribute it. You know, it was a whole rendition. I asked him where his authority is, that code, statute, and ordinance. You describe what, and he kept going around a circle. And the lawyer came out and said, look, we don't want to have any arrests. I'll walk out. That's my right, all right? And I stayed in the building, but again, I came back, and then I saw the sergeant. Sergeant said the same stuff. And the thing is that there's no, they have no status quo laws. There's status quo with nothing, because there's no law so far, because the whole week, the city, the county lawyer was looking for it, and I had to put a big, I put a request in, but you know me and my wording, I have to be indignant, not necessarily indignant to the
right. Court.
But I have to explain why.
Well, here's what I would think about this. I understand what happened there, and I understand, you know, where New Jersey is going to end up going in the future, because we're all going to do the same thing. In other words, we're going to go into the courts. And when the way New York goes in, you know, it's when we go in, if we prevail, it's going to make it easier for everybody else, because there'll already be that precedent, and it'll be New York. That's huge. Now, if you file a case against somebody for not letting you distribute NLA literature in the court, even though you're saying you're filing it as a private person, that's still attached to us. So what it does is it distracts from the fight that we're doing right now. They go, oh, yeah, and they got this other guy up here that wanted to put papers and he wouldn't do it. Now he's going to have the other guy arrested. And I'm not saying that you can't have that guy arrested for everything he does, but you got to pick your battles, because in a month from now, you're going to be going in doing the exact same fight we're doing here. Because and the thing is every all eyes should be on us right now, because everybody should be on their knees and pray that we prevail, that we get this sheriff to do the arrest. We shouldn't be distracting anybody else in the whole country. All eyes in the whole country should be on New York right now. That's the seat of the evil, and we're right in the heart of the beast, and we're putting ourselves out there because, you know, this puts the three of us that signed this complaint, you know, it raises us up as targets for the NLA. Right now, there is no targets. We're all anonymous. We're all, you know. So it's very important that we have the whole, even collective consciousness of the nation focused in New York now. Because if we're getting distracted here and there and we're making little news stories, because let me tell you something. If they figure out that they can put a wedge in and divide and conquer us, like take your issue, and then yeah, you're going to have to be coming in, you're going to be filing papers, and then you're going to be suing them if they don't take them, which they're not going to want to do if we're successful in New York. You'll have an easier time. But listen, you're going to be in the news, they're going to know who the hell you are, and you're going to have to be able to articulate your position.
Oh,
because they're going to be sticking. So what I'm saying is, I don't think it's a good idea for you to go after these people that wouldn't let you distribute things in the court because you know, they don't have a right to. Listen, do you realize how many cases John and I have let fall to the wayside of people that we could have arrested and pulled away? But the thing is we felt that all that stuff was distractions from the evil ones to keep us, you know, oh, well, come over here and get and hit this guy, and that'll teach him. But yet we're not at the end of the day, when we're done, the most important thing is to get in the court. And so we laid all that other stuff aside that we had because, you know, this is such a big thing to get a common law grand jury seated anywhere in the whole nation. I mean, this is as big or bigger than than when they did the Declaration of Independence. So we need to be a force of one. And I'm just saying, be careful. Pick your battles. New Jersey is New Jersey, but we hope that your eyes are on us, following our example and putting all that focus over here so that, you know, your prayers and the collective conscious, whatever it is you believe, it is over here in New York, putting the pressure on these people, even, you know, physically as well as spiritually. It's important. I think it's very important. Washington himself got down on his knees when things got bad. And if everybody here isn't doing that, pulling for New York, that might be the difference between us winning and losing. So I don't want listen, we're going to have all kinds of stuff across the nation. But what happens with this common law grand jury, the implications of it, and you see, they don't understand, people are ignorant, but the implications is that this is the silver bullet. These attorneys don't want us in court because the ones that actually know how to read and read it, they said, and they don't even get it. I don't even think they get the whole thing. They just get that there's going to be this group that can watch and that other people who have been wrong could come to and complain and actually get actions out of it. They're going, if they come in here, we're going to jail. That's what's going on. Prudente won't even let us file a case to challenge what she said about the common law being abrogated, or even they can't even answer our case because they read it. And so what she's doing is like, no, no paperwork, none. We're not accepting anything. So who is she, Hitler? Yeah. And the thing is this is what's going on right now in New York. So you do what you want to do. But
I deferred to New York, but I'm just saying that I can defer that and have myself ready to do what I need to.
Absolutely. Listen, you can go in a week later and do that.
All right. Yeah, no problem. I have my ammunition up, and the real thing is I sat down with my leaders in my state who called in on Thursday. Where interesting fact is, God's with us. We have the four armed forces that we've been part of.
Jason, I wouldn't be here where I am right now if I didn't believe that. Because listen, I'm out so far out there, you have no idea. I mean, it's like I'm doing this with the faith that God will carry me through. Because if it wasn't for that, it would almost seem self-destructive with these people because that's how they operate.
Well, again,
actually get what we're doing for real, come on, this is big.
What's going on, and it's very powerful, and the numbers are improving, and we're really doing it. And I have a lot of stuff, and I have a lot to prove. And the real thing is that, everyone here is of Christian origin, majority. I'm Jewish.
Well, not everyone, but yeah.
But majority of people are Christian here. I'm Jewish. And I always ask God, give me a sign that I can follow that I know I'm on the right path of my life. Now, on my birth certificate, there were 13 errors. My mother was born in 1913. I was born on the 7th, and the paper was filed on the 3rd.
We have a lot of people giving us a lot of stuff like this. We get it all the time because I don't concentrate on it. I take it inside and I don't talk about it.
But
and the reason I don't talk about it is because I want to leave it up to God's will on however it happens. And I understand that sometimes you get consolation in certain things that God shows you. Mm-hmm. But the reason we don't talk about those things is because I don't want to seem pride or haughty that I'm going to make a prediction that I'm going to win, when God says, well, no, guess what? You don't deserve this one for whatever reason that I can't see. So I don't like to, make predictions that God's going to save me and that. The only thing I do is I say I put my faith in him. And anything else other than that, that's a sign. I put that inside, and I keep it to myself. And I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm impressed at what you have there. But what I'm saying is, we're getting a lot of this, and I believe God is on our side, and I believe that the world has had enough evil, and that it's getting to the point that it's reaching the boiling point. And so if we're going to break out of this, we're going to do it now, or we're going to go down. This is the line in the sand.
And we're breaking out now, and I praise everyone for their continued work. I mean, we're up to 32 from the 256. Going up there, guys.
And yeah, we're getting up there.
Thank you very much for your time.
Right.
And no, one thing I have to say, we never need to berate ourselves. Whatever you're doing, God knows you're here, and he praises you for your work. You cannot win everyone onto your side, but you can definitely persuade them to move with you.
Right.
And with that, I end my term. Thank you very much, Gerard, for speaking with me. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jason.
All right. Yep. Thank you, Jason.
All right.
Right.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Let's take the next caller. Let's see. Where is the next caller here? 818. No name next.
Hi,
to
John. 818. Hi, John. It's Carla in California.
Doing, Carla?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good.
You guys are definitely in my prayers all the time. And I'm so grateful to you for what you're doing and the sacrifices that you're making. But I have a comment, and that is, you know what I was thinking is it possible that you could have your meeting that you were going to have on April 7th near May 16th? So maybe some of those people from Washington, D.C. could come up to New York and join you?
I'm sorry, April. Well, the April 7th was the court date.
Right.
Right,
but,
that's been postponed till the 21st now. I mean, 22nd.
Okay.
The 22nd
right.
of April.
Okay, but on May 16th, from what I understand, there's going to be 2 million people marching in Washington, D.C., and I was wondering if you could have your date, instead of being April 21st, to be closer to the date in May, so more people could come up there that way.
Right. Well, we can't do that because we can't wait one day more than what we should. This delay, obviously, is not anything that we foresaw that would happen in the way that it did happen. I really was beside myself to think that they would try to stop a court case from going into the courts. And so obviously there's other authorities or other, you know, God or someone, well, God, of course, is changing these dates. As much as we want to get it as quick as possible, we can't. But we also can't push it away because we're about ready to lose the nation. And I'll tell you what, that day draws nigh. I've heard of a lot of dates, and they're coming up. I heard spring or even early summer, and I hope I'm wrong on that. So that's why we have to move quick. We have to get New York onto the map, so to speak, and this will leverage every other state to happen the same way. And that's why I keep pushing people real hard, telling them, look, I haven't heard any good excuses why anyone that's in a county that hasn't been constituted yet, I'd like to hear one good excuse why they can't do it next week. Well, maybe next week's a holiday. Well, you know, next week a lot of it is either a Passover or Easter. So maybe the following week. But whatever, it needs to be done right away.
Well, listen, that could be a good idea to have this thing closer to the when 2 million people are going to be in Washington. But if it's a great idea, and if it's an idea that's going to help us, and if it's something that's really good, then it's all in God's timing. You know, we don't even know that we won't get delayed some other way before
yes.
this thing goes in. We don't. This date is definitely, we're kind of writing in stone, but we wrote the last one in stone. So guess what? So whatever God wants to do, if he thinks that that's a major event that's going to help us, then I think whatever date we get is going to be close enough to that that he'll be able to use that if he sees fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a tug of war between
yeah,
them and
so
us.
We,
and,
yeah,
God
I mean, we've had so many
that's gonna fall.
Twists and turns. I don't take any presumptions on anything at this point. And really, I give it up to him because he's in control. And if he thinks that's a better date, well, then, we won't fight it. I mean, we're over here surfing on a wave. You know how you surf? You kind of go where the wave takes you, and we're trying not to fall down. You know what I mean? So if you want to pray for that, feel free. You know what I mean? So
just praying for anything that you do, that everything works in your direction, the way God
correct.
Wants it to go.
Right, right. The way God wants it to go, that's the way it's got to go. And listen, we are a smaller, inferior force, and that traditionally is kind of the way that history is made, with smaller, so-called inferior forces. And so I have no reason to believe that we're not one of those historical, smaller, inferior forces. So I march forward with confidence, you know, the confidence of David and numerous other examples out there of people, you know. And even Colonel Jackson fought with no fear. And he said, listen, he had bullets in his hat and in his cloak, and he was like one of the most fearsome guys. I mean, he would take the whole battle back from his attitude. And he said, listen, my calling in life is a soldier, and part of my job is to fight. And as long as I'm doing what my calling is what my God wants me to do, I'm taking care of my calling. He says, I'm not going to die one second sooner than what he has written for me. So he didn't worry about when that bullet was going to come for him, because he figured he had no control over it anyway.
Yes.
Right? He just did his job. And that's what we need to do. Anyway, thanks a lot for that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, we'll take our next caller. It's a wireless caller, area code 509. Go ahead, wireless caller.
Hello?
Yep, hello.
Yeah, this is Rick in Spokane, Washington.
How you doing, Rick?
I'll make this extremely brief. I guess there was a couple questions and a statement. You were wanting anybody to stop coming to New York to at least write letters. Were you going to contact maybe state coordinators and maybe have them get out to the jurists? Because I think it would be a good idea that every jurist, you know, in every state, you know, if they cannot come to New York to write letters.
Well, that's a good idea, and maybe next Monday we will talk very specifically about that, okay? And we'll try to put some kind of some ideas into what might be said in a letter, and then people have to brainstorm it together and kind of make them unique if they can. But, of course, it's all focused on the same thing, what's going on there in New York. You know, we're watching.
Okay. Well, the other thing I wanted to say is, are you aware that there's entire states out there that have not even one constituted county? There's Illinois, Arkansas, Alaska, Montana, Idaho. That's just the ones off the top of my head I can remember.
Right. Yeah, there are some out there. There are some, and you know, I know we have people, and you're out there on the Pacific Coast. We have Washington, Oregon, California and Nevada. You're all in Pacific time zone, and I think you align a little closer, of course, with Alaska and Hawaii for that. And so we kind of, you know, some people in your area, your district, we'll call it, that section of the country, has taken it because they've already, they have state coordinators and they're working on their counties and they're coming along pretty strong, most of these states. You guys were going to pay a little more attention towards Alaska and try to help them along, and also Hawaii by giving calls to the people and encouraging them. Maybe because they're off the mainland that they're a little slower than us. But yes, there are some other states. The Dakotas, I know, are running very slow. I knew North Dakota particularly. I think South Dakota, I don't remember. It's been a while since I looked. So, but North Dakota.
Have you ever been in North Dakota or South Dakota?
No, I haven't. So.
The state runs slow. It's 1,000 miles between any two points.
Right.
Anyway,
it's up to that state to get themselves a state coordinator. Someone in that state. We do have people in those states. Someone has to step up to be a state coordinator, even if it's temporary. They got to be making the phone calls and talking to people to get things going. Alaska is pretty desolate too. Everything's far and in between there too.
They have the same kind of problem. Four people for county. It's not, you know. And the thing is if you build it, they will come. When the news starts getting hot around the nation of things, because this thing is going to run whether you're ready or not. It's coming, and whoever's constituted is going to be constituted. And we're not sitting there waiting for anybody, because this thing is got a life of its own. So if they're on, they're on, and if they're not, they're not. But,
okay.
What's going to happen is that the news is going to precede it. And then those people that are just kind of sitting there, they're going to get up and get off their butts. And they're going to go, holy crap, look what's going on over here. How come we're not in on this? John and I aren't going to worry too much about that, because, like he said, this guy from this state should be helping that state. And everybody in the nation should be looking at the rest of the nation and asking what they can do to fill in a hole or whatever else. The other thing is writing letters. You can't say that you want just the grand jurist and the people in the movement to write letters, because you should have everybody writing letters, your relatives, your friends. First of all, you don't want them to know who the grand jurists are. They'll collect your freaking letters up, and they'll know exactly how many people you got. So,
when they look at letters, they presume a certain percentage, and rightly so.
Well, I think we should be doing more than letters. I think we should be doing phone calls and faxes to Prudente's machine and all this other crap. I think that,
right.
Especially during the week that we're in there. Now is the time.
Particularly, I think, to the court in Columbia County.
Right. Now is the time that should be going in. The court in Columbia County and down and to, because Prudente goes into that big, I don't know how many story skyscraper that she's in. So that letter will never make it up to her office before it hits the incinerator. But that's besides the point.
Okay.
Well, then up to the leaders. Look, it's up to the leadership. I'm going to put together some kind of a thing, to give some ideas. But again, they're ideas. Of course, the key thing is we're over here in this place or whatever, and we're watching what's going on there in New York. We're doing the same thing, and so, however, something like that. I'll put some ideas down, but you guys have to brainstorm it yourself, and it should start to get unique from state to state, from county to county, and people to people to some degree. We all don't want to write the same letter, but generally we will be writing the same things. But it is up to the people, to take hold of this and do it. I mean, everybody that's here on this call right now should start thinking about working this out in their states. And if there's 10 people coming, listening in on a particular state or whatever, then the 10 people could be working within their state to get others, let's get going on this thing. Because we do need that kind of support. We need them to know that, okay, maybe the news isn't flashing in on them, but they will eventually. But the people are, even without the news. And why are they afraid of the news getting the story? Because the people will find out. So if they find out that the people find out, there it is.
Okay, I'll get off here so someone else can get on here. But I just was amazed at how many states had no constituted counties. And just real brief, the state of Idaho, I'm 20 miles from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I don't really know people over there real well, but I have some acquaintances. I'm going to try to do what I can to at least get somebody over there in the Post Falls, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, maybe started, because they don't have any constituted counties either.
Right. I'm going to try, we're paying attention to New York. We're very well focused, and we've got a lot of things to do here. We'll try to organize the state coordinators, call for a special meeting for state coordinators, and anybody can come anyway, but we really want to make sure the state coordinators get there. I'll see if I can find a couple of people to make phone calls to all the existing state coordinators and to get them to commit to coming to a meeting maybe next week sometime, and we'll have a meeting focusing in on this particular subject matter, first of all, getting some more activity within our states, getting that moving, but also on the states next door to us that they don't have any state coordinators, let's make some phone calls, let's push some people into the system, and also talk about the letter writing, because it's going to have to be the leadership of the states, each state, to really push it down and make it go. It's unfortunate, and we're very well-trained slaves. We respond exactly the way they want us to respond. They've been conditioning us for a long time. And so we fall asleep quickly. We forget about things quickly. We procrastinate everything. And the unfortunate thing is we all figure, we want to do something, and we say, yeah. But then when it's time to do it, it's like going on a diet. Well, maybe I'll go next week or next month. I need to exercise. Yeah, maybe I'll get it tomorrow. And you never get around to it. You keep putting it off. And especially doing something like this, you see other activity going, they don't really need me. One person's not going to hurt. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do it. I'll let the other guy do it. Well, the problem is everybody's saying the same thing. And that's what we have to realize. So we have to get out of this rut, this slave mentality rut, and we have to become active.
Okay, well, thank you, John.
Okay, thanks. All right, we'll take our next caller. Frank, you got the mic.
Hey, John.
Hi. Hey, how you doing? You don't sound like Frank.
I don't.
Yes.
This is Kathy.
Yes, hi.
I was calling. I just wanted to say quickly, I got two emails today inviting me to the call. One was directly from Blog Talk, telling me to come to Blog Talk Radio.
I got to shut that down. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and the other one was at Meetup. It tells you to go to Blog Talk.
Yeah, I forgot about that, too. I guess I've been kind of busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me make a note of that right now. Reset the email stuff. Okay.
Okay. Now, the other thing is a lot of people on the chat are saying they came in late and they didn't hear why the court date was delayed. Could you just repeat that so they can hear it?
We filed the court case on a Monday, and on a Wednesday we got a call from the clerk telling us that they're sending the paperwork back even after they filed it and so on and so forth. And when we pushed them on why, they said, because Prudente said so. And we said, well, by what law and what authority are you acting upon? They didn't have any. We reminded them of what the law is that once you file a paper is filed into the process, no one can remove it. There's nobody that can remove that. Nobody. And yet they've done that. So we went up to the courts. We tried to bypass because we had the papers. We had two originals in our possession. We took one original right up to the court. And they immediately were waiting for us, and so the conspiracy is pretty wide. And they said, the number's been rescinded. We can't receive it. We made our argument with them. They got a little nervous, I think. They had to sit outside, even though they're not talking to anyone, but they had to sit outside, and I'm sure the phones were burning all over the state trying to figure out what to do because people didn't want to go to jail because we told them you're going to go to jail. You know, but then they made the decision finally to bite the bullet. And I'll tell you what, they put everything. When I look at all the paperwork and the letters and the few things that they've done and the words that they spoke, everyone is really the person that's being thrown under the bus really is the county clerk. And she was trying to push one of her associate clerks under the bus instead of her. She wouldn't even get on the phone with us. And we know she was sitting right next to, right next to this woman when we were talking on the phone with this one woman, one clerk, and she tried to cover the phone up, and she said, they want to talk to you. And then she came back and says, no, she's still in the meeting, and I called her on the live. We have it on the recording. We heard you. But in any event, so they threw the case out, so to speak. We are going down to see the sheriff. We put papers together, which I have to finish off tonight. We're going down to see the sheriff tomorrow, and we're pushing for arrest. We believe we'll get the arrest because they violated codes, and if there's anything that the sheriff understands, it's codes and statutes. So we're going to show him very clearly with sworn affidavits, here are the codes. We swear we saw these things happen. Now you got to make the arrest. And so we're presuming that we can get this arrest done and then put ourselves into, at that point, re-put the papers back onto the table for whoever's left there, the clerk, to take it unless they want to go to jail too, because we'll call the sheriff right up. I mean, he's right here. He's outside, so, we'll have him come back and arrest you too, maybe. So we're going to use that kind of pressure on these people to, take these papers and, what would you say? They said they rescinded, so reinstate that index number or give us a new index number, whatever they want to do. So anyway, that caused us, because there's too much uncertainty, and the 7th is next week, the week after this week, we had to move it because we really don't know what's going to happen over the course of the next few days. So we reset the date for the 22nd. That's where we're at. And again, anybody can re-listen to this program. We post it up. Well, I'll try to get it posted tonight before I go to sleep, but it gets posted up there. And you can re-listen right on the Monday night call-in page. All right.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Oh, that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Kathleen. Next person, 602, you got the mic.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great. I had you on speaker, sorry. I want to tell you something that might help. You probably already know it, but I just realized it today. And then I have two quick questions after that. The first one, I've realized that the purpose of the grand jury being independent was specifically and almost only so that ordinary Americans could have direct access, could bring direct power to bear against corrupt politicians, you know, governmental elected officials, and people in the judiciary. It didn't occur to me till today that the reason the sheriffs are elected and are independent also of other government officials is so that they can be the enforcement arm of the common law grand jury. Am I right there?
Well, that's true of the people themselves. Look, if you lose your sheriff, you have no true law enforcement.
Exactly.
You have corporate law enforcement, and that's all you have, politically controlled
exactly.
enforcement by politicians. If the people control the sheriff and we have honest elections, then they truly will be elected by the people of their county. And a sheriff that is obedient to the people to do their will and to enforce the law when it's necessary and protect the people when it's necessary, that's the guy that's going to get elected and get in.
You know, it occurred to me, too, that when you talk to the sheriffs, you might share that with them, make them realize that's really their role, is
well,
to
exactly.
support us.
Yep.
So then my questions, the first one is, I didn't hear the whole thing a couple of weeks ago when there were a bunch of people from different countries, apparently four different countries. What are those countries?
Well, UK, Canada,
yeah.
Australia, Ireland. Now we also have New Zealand, the Netherlands, and we actually have a country out of Africa, and I don't believe there originally any common law there, but there are people. They're children of God, too.
That
they can
Kenya,
have their common law.
Right?
Huh?
Kenya?
I don't recall the name of
okay.
the country. I don't think it was Kenya, though.
Okay. God, that's amazing, though. And my last question is, one thing I haven't understood yet. It's like when I read the Quo Warranto and the writ of prohibition, it sounds like you're calling these people into court, but you don't have a court.
Sure we do.
Well,
the court isn't
work?
In session until the people walk in. The court is not in session until the grand jury comes into empanelment. That's the beginning of a court, and if it passes it on to the trial court, then it continues in session through the trial jury. But until that trial jury is empaneled, the grand jury will answer any questions or problems that may arise. If there's a decision that needs to be made, the grand jury has to be called so that they can come in and make that decision. Certainly the judge cannot make that decision. You see, that's why in a court, when they come in and they make a motion to dismiss for lack of, a cause of action or no standing, all that is BS, and the judge doesn't have the authority to rule on that. Because he's not the tribunal, he's the magistrate, he's the justice, and he's got to reflect the will of the king or the people, which is the tribunal. And so whatever they decide to do, the judge's signature goes on to it because he is the administrator of the court. And matter of fact, Gerard made the idea, which we may try to do. We're going to have to get a meeting with the judge prior to the court to let him know, don't get too excited here because we're going to be doing some strange things that you've never seen before, and we need to alert him before time. Instead of facing the judge, we're going to turn the chairs around to the other side of the table and be facing the people because that's where the case is being put out to the people. It's not being put out to the judge. He doesn't get to make a decision yet. That's why they don't want us in the court.
That is the traditional decorum of a common law court. We just didn't make this up. In a common law court, the defendant and the plaintiff face the tribunal, which is the jury, not the judge. The judge is the magistrate keeping decorum. And we're explaining that to him in a paper. So it only makes sense that we go ahead and set the thing up the way it's supposed to be. That's another reason they don't want us in there.
Right, and I think they carefully read the paper, and they see, I think they really do see what we're talking about. And they fear it because we have so much support, and there's nothing that denies it.
So, but you are going to be in a regular courtroom that they already have jurisdiction in. How do you force them to change their jurisdiction?
The quorum.
Okay.
The quorum and the writ of prohibition. Those two explain it very clearly. Look, we will have in our back pocket an arrest warrant for everyone in that courthouse, everyone in that courtroom, all the officers, everybody. We will have them in our back pocket. We'll also have, because we predetermined and agreed the grand jury last time it met, that anyone that gets in the way, indict them. Okay, so we are going to have in our back pocket an indictment for the these people, the judge, and anyone else. So they will remove them from the bench immediately and give them an indictment, and continue on. We're looking into this. We're going to see about having in the place, if we had to do something like that in his place, we would put, I think it's two, what do they call them, notaries. But maybe we can, I don't know, does New York still have JPs?
I don't know. There's somebody complaining about you doing that, and they want to talk to you about using notaries. They have something
to
say.
Yeah, because they look at the fiction, and they think they're tied
right.
only to the fiction, but they go back much further than that. And
well,
look at the fiction just stole over what we've got. You know, and notaries are pretty much almost JPs anyway, but we should look for JPs if we can find a friendly JP.
I'd like to say something about her question about how we're going to go into this jurisdiction when they have the court. You see, the common law court never lost jurisdiction. We're not redefining anything. This is the traditional court. The IRS uses a court of record filing their cases as the sovereign. This is nothing new. They know about this stuff. You see, this is, and they didn't, and they never took our court from us. We just let them have it because they use this equity law, and when they suck you into it, what we do is we consent into it. And so, the minute you write through your paper the wrong way, what you're doing is you're signaling the judge that you're going to cooperate with that system that you guys all hate so much, their corporate system. But listen, that corporate system absolutely is not above the lawful system, the common law system, because if it is, then we don't have the Declaration of Independence and we don't have the Constitution, because that's what those things stand on. So
exactly.
Those things guarantee us this kind of court. It guarantees us a common law court with a tribunal of our peers. This is so fundamental, and everybody that gives credibility and credence to their fiction and all the crazy stuff they're doing, what you're doing is you're making them more powerful. They're not more powerful. They're the Wizard of Oz. We're going to pull the curtain back and say, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, because that's what they're doing. We're going to come in and blow them out of the water. You know why? Because we can. You know, George Bush stood there with a piece of paper, and he said, with the Constitution, this is just a GD piece of paper. Well, yeah, it is, until I pick it up with one hand and have my pen or gun in the other hand, whatever you prefer, you know what I mean, or the rope for the gallows.
If Gail Prudenti shows up in that courtroom, she's already admitting defeat, correct?
Yeah, I don't think she'll show up anywhere. I think she'll be on a one of those spaceship rides where they pay a lot of money to go to the moon or something. I don't know. But anyway, I don't want to get. It's just a fundamental basic thing, that's why we're not. And listen, we are the sovereign people. If I want to play undercover boss and I want to use something out of the corporate or the equity side, and I keep my foot as a free person, there ain't nothing they can say about that.
Hmm.
Nothing. You just have to know how to do it, and you can't let them suck you into their evil side. And they have a million ways of doing it, but you know, we feel like we sort of cracked the code, because it's so simple when you finally get it. It really, I don't know if you ever watched Helen Keller when the water came down and hit her hands, and she realized that sign meant water. That's where we're at. That's the realization. Look, this is what it's about.
Exactly.
We're having a Helen Keller moment here. Okay.
Exactly. So, but you're going to have to seat a grand jury, though, aren't you?
They're going to be right there.
We are the grand jury. Everybody that's in that courtroom.
We're going to seat them. We're going to turn the tables and face them.
Wow.
I'm telling you, this is historic. We should be like, everybody should be quaking. Okay? This is major, major stuff. This has never happened in history before. You know?
Well,
so
I think you guys
anyway.
Are going to go down as the new Patrick Henrys.
Well, yeah. I hope we go down as that, not up as something else.
Or the first three founders.
Okay. I'm gonna yield the mic. I'm sorry, John.
Anything else? That's okay. Anything
no,
else?
I'll yield the mic now. I got real great satisfaction tonight. This is great.
Okay.
Thank you so much for those answers.
All right. Okay, next caller, Mary. Mary, you got it.
Hi, it's Mary from Connecticut.
How you doing, Mary from Connecticut?
Great. Oh, you guys are, God bless everyone on the call. And John, I love the courses and essays and the changes that you made here.
Yeah, and we're going to have, we have a lot more to put up there. And each,
wow.
You know, each day maybe I'll get time to put another one up there. We've got a lot of audio up there now and books that you can read the books with the audio, you know?
Well, listen, keep encouraging us, because the thing is like, it's very hard to learn all of this. Like, I'm challenged because I'm in the, you know, kangaroo courts for over 3 years, 18 years of, 2 years trying to save my 18-year HUD-insured FHA, CHFA home. What a joke, as a pro se attorney. And, you know, and then 5 criminal charges because, you know, I'm a big bad criminal over here in Connecticut. I call it the state of Corrupticut. But,
yeah.
John, what I wanted to say and suggest is that we're ordering all of these seals, and I ordered mine, and it was like receiving a diamond.
Yes.
in the mail, and having it in my hands and holding it along with the documents. I had 30 certified copies made at Staples of the Litchfield County papers that we had notarized on the 15th. And I want to say thank you again for everything you're doing. And, you know, we are going to get the keys to the courthouse. And New York, God bless everyone that is moving towards this, and it is his divine will for this to happen, and it's wonderful. It brings such tears of joy and answers to prayers to many.
Amen.
And, but what I want to say about these seals is I'd like to see if you could give Staples a call and see if you can't get a group rate like a 10% discount and a tax-free exemption, you know. And the only difference on the seals is the county and the state. But otherwise, 3/4 of the seals are all identical.
What did they charge you for your seal?
I think, you know, with it delivered and everything, like John said, it was less than $50 or something, you know,
yeah,
37,
right.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah, it depends on the tax in your state, yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean,
it might
were a little
to...
expensive. Ours was 51.
Yeah,
so
I thought it was 51,
is,
right.
John, if somebody from National Liberty Alliance, like you, calls Staples and asks to speak to their business department.
I'll do that. I'll make a note of that.
Okay. And,
well,
the
thing I worry about with trying to get Staples to do anything for us with this thing is, you know, you're bringing that corporate entity in and asking them to give you a discount on these seals that are going around the nation. I did call me paranoid, but I think it's better if everybody goes in and gets their own seal for their own county, and this kind of sneaks up on them, and they don't, you know. You get a deal, you got
to
go to Staples Corporate. But maybe
being,
think,
you know, we don't need to sneak up on anybody. I'm proud of my Litchfield County seal. And you want to hear something funny? I got 2 puppies that are 10 weeks old, and the seal was on my bed, and all of a sudden the seal now has a little chew mark in the handle. So it's been blessed by my puppies. I don't know if it was Blue Magoo or Tipper 2.
Well,
but,
blessing is one thing. I hope
you
did.
Up. There's probably a lot of people on waiting to get in the queue. I've been trying to get in the courts for 2 years. Superior
blessing
court.
Is one thing. I hope he didn't baptize it. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's now in a safe place.
No, she shielded his ear.
But the thing is, I've been trying to get into the Superior Court for April. Of 2012, I started putting in motions for a grand jury investigation because over 2 years ago
that'll never happen.
Investigating as a pro se what the correct steps are, and in Connecticut we do have some. It's a joke because how often do you hear it? they are supposed to investigate government corruption through a grand jury, but I've put in several motions at the Superior Court level. Every time I put in a motion, the next thing I know, I'm going off to the, you know, for a competency to stand trial exam on breach of peace charges and shit that they're charging me with that never make it to trial. But I don't want to take up too much time. I've got a third motion to the Supreme Court right now for a grand jury investigation. They just simply dismissed my other two, just like the Superior Court did.
Yeah, they'll never
and
give
I'm
it to you because they will find the corruption there, and they know they'll find the corruption there, so they'll never do it. And remember, you know, you're talking to a corporation. You're not talking to a.
Oh.
You're talking to an EC Prius court, which is a corporate
yep.
corporate court. You are not talking to a court of record,
yep.
a common law court. And
yep.
that, you know, takes a little bit to, it doesn't take much to figure it out, but it's mostly in the paperwork, and then you have to have the, you know, walk into the court, be a little bold and push them, you know,
oh,
to make sure you get your common law
they
court.
They know me. They know me very well, John. They hate me in Connecticut. I've known by the Connecticut Supreme Court justices. I'm fine. I'm on the phone with them, telling them how to do their jobs. I'm like, you cannot deny me my right to be heard. It's a judicial code of conduct in the Connecticut Practice Book, Rule 1.6 or something like that. They cannot. That's all they've done is denied me on both the housing matter, on the illegal home foreclosure. I don't want to keep taking up a lot of time. I know there's a lot of people, but if anybody is interested in my case, they can Google my name, Mary, D-A-G-N-A-S-C-H-I, or friend me on Facebook. But listen, God bless everybody. He's in control, and we're in for a wonderful history-making adventure. So take care, everybody. Godspeed. We'll see you in New York on the 21st, John. Bye-bye.
The 22nd.
Yep, take care. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Mary. Bye-bye. Okay, let's take the next caller. Laura, go right ahead. How you doing, Laura?
Hello. Hi.
How you doing? Good to hear from you.
I just wanted to make an announcement for Oregon. We'll have a presentation, and it is scheduled on Saturday, May 3rd at noon. It's going to be at a place called The Fuhrer. The location is 8775 Southwest Canyon Lane, Portland, Oregon. It'll be Washington County, but we're also aiming for Multnomah County and Clackamas County, and this is a big populated area. So,
do you want to give your phone number or anything?
Oh, yeah, my phone number is 541-336-5853. And the best time to get a hold of me is like afternoon on the Pacific Coast time because I sleep in late.
Okay, that was 541-336-5853. All right, anything else, Laura?
Nope. Just wanted to do that for my friends.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay. Our next caller is Anonymous. Go right ahead, Anonymous.
Hi, Don and Gerard and everybody. This is Susanna from Ohio.
How you doing, Susanna?
Oh, I'm terrible. real quickly, they sent oral arguments for my mom's civil wrongful death suit April the 15th, and I have no clue what I'm doing. That's one thing, and then I'm still trying to get dad, and there's just too many things going on, cases, stuff.
Well, I got a case I just wrote for someone that might fit into yours. It's a case written for a trust, and what I could do is clean up all the names in there and stuff, and you might be able to just boilerplate this case.
Well, and I'm trying to work on that other thing that we talked about, but I'm in so many cases I can't get out of this. Now, this is not what I'm calling you about here tonight because I want to share two things with you that are very important and with the people out there, too. They're going to want this information, I think. But, I'm just saying I've got so many cases, you know, with my situation, with my mom's death and murder and the dad and the abuse and the estate exploitation. This is 24/7. But anyway, I'll call you sometime this week, maybe. Is that okay?
Yeah, later in the week. I got a lot of things to do the next couple of days, but maybe towards the end of the week.
and then get it that way.
Yeah, and you're on Skype, aren't you?
Right. We speak on Skype.
Yeah, you Skype me, and I can pass you the case there. You know, I could pass you the case with the names and everything. It'd probably be easiest for me, but just make sure you go through it and clean everything out. Don't let nothing, you know, hang behind other people's names and stuff.
Yeah, I'm good about redaction. I know all about. I got two things I want to share with you and the people out there, though. This is posted on Ohio Forum. Okay, I put it on our Ohio Forum, you know, state. So you can find them out there under case law and quotes. Quotes and case law, sorry. There's two things. I found a case opinion, not case law, case opinion, from 2011, and I have officially filed criminal charges to my prosecutor in the Ohio Attorney General's office on these thugs in office, and I put the statutes, I mean, all the criminal codes and everything down there. Of course, you know where that ended up. But this case is sweet. It's about a girl who did the same thing. She drafted up criminal complaints on her boyfriend, husband, whatever, domestic violence, blah, blah. She took it to the clerk of courts, and the clerk of courts actually issued the summons and the warrants. And he was served. He went through the process. He was found guilty. He appealed it. He went to the appeals court. They, you know, kept it up. He took it to the Ohio Supreme Court. That's what this case is over, because he was arguing that because they didn't go to the prosecutor first to get approval, this was no good. By gosh, the Supreme Court went and upheld these. This is good. I mean, I realize it's going the statute route and all, but the point is we're fighting to get our records into the courts. We're fighting for them to keep our records and not throw them back at us, which they're doing with me too in another case. But this right here proves that the clerk can issue these criminal complaints, and have them served, have them go through the process. We don't need intervention from the prosecutor. This is case law for a case opinion to prove this.
Well, that's true. And anything that is consistent with the Constitution is case law.
But, I mean, this is a
more
great
than
case.
An opinion, but it is good opinion, but it's more than an opinion. But, look at common law. It's common law. Criminal, it doesn't matter what case, kind of contract, anything you're arguing, it's good. It works in common law court.
Well, the Supreme Court went and upheld this and said, no, these will stand, even though the girl, the citizen, they called him, did it herself and gave it to the clerk, and the clerk issued the summons and all. It's still good. It still was valid. And so that proves that the people can do it. The people can enter these criminal complaints, and these prosecutors and all should be taking them. But anyway, that's the one thing, okay? Now, something else happened because of the criminal documents of this judge is sent back to me through the mail and had the clerk of court stamp crossed out on each page. They were actually entered into my file by me. She sent them back to me. I found an opinion from the Ohio Attorney General's office from 1994, and this prosecutor or judge was asking them, once paper pleadings have been filed in a case, can they be removed? This is an awesome read. It's really awesome.
Send us a copy of that one, because that identifies what we're doing, and that is the fact of the matter. Is once a case is filed and accepted, you see, it was prima facie good. And once it's prima facie okay, you know, look at it. If there's something wrong, prima facie problem, then, yeah, you know, they can say, well, you know, you've got a problem over here and over there, and you fix it and you put it in. But once it's accepted and it's, on its face, that's it. It's done. All of a sudden, they don't like the fact of who we're going after or what we're doing. Now they're going to try to take it out. And who's playing tribunal to that? It's got to go into the courtroom for any kind of decision of that nature. And in a common law court, it's never going to be thrown out.
Well, what I was going to tell you about this was they bring up the High Attorney General's rep brings this up in there. It says if it's wrong, then you amend it, you correct it, you don't remove it. They ask about striking it, so you strike it, but you still don't remove it from the case. They're very blunt about this. You cannot, and they even question: does it matter whether it gets on the docket or whether the clerk has just accepted it and stamped it? And they say very plainly, if the clerk accepts it and stamps it, it's in the record. It doesn't even have to be marked on the docket as long as she's accepted. I'm telling you, this is, well, here's what's interesting. When I found this, I sent it to the Ohio Attorney General's office, and with this judge who's sending me back these papers, and I said, she's violated 18 U.S.C. 2071, and here's the your own opinion about this. They've taken it offline. I am so glad I printed this out, so I scanned it, and it's on my Ohio forum page, but I can't find. I can't get to it now online again. They've taken it offline.
Or are they blocked your URL.
Whatever.
Send me a copy and email. I'd like to get that.
Listen, besides the fact that when that girl went to that clerk and filed that paper, that clerk who has an oath of office, who's a public official, the minute she knows about the crime, guess what? Even if she didn't, she has to report it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the law. She can't.
Well, they're all hanging together. These people won't trip out. You know, they won't rat out anybody. They're going to hang together.
Well, listen, listen, it was good because there was a stamp and there's precedent and it's procedure, and that's what people don't understand. We are resting on procedure, and that's what we're talking about. And these procedures are established, and they have to follow them. Listen, if you can remove tape papers out of an official docket, well, what kind of a system do we have anyway?
Well, that's what I wrote the Ohio Attorney General. If I said, if she could remove my files from her records and send them back to me, they can get away. They can convict somebody wrongfully. They can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, lawless. Well, you can only do that if you live in New York, though. It's not okay anyplace.
Well, it's happening in Ohio, trust me. And John knows enough about my case that this is nasty,
yeah.
You know, covering up murder and abuse.
You should get copies of that. You should send us copies of that stuff.
Well, I'm telling you, I will, but I'm saying for everybody else out there, I put it on the Ohio forum. You know our state forum? I've posted it on my Ohio forum, so it's out there underneath quotes and case law.
Okay.
Well, we'll post it up on our page also with, court process and access information. We'll post it there.
Okay, I'll send it to you. But like I said, it's an opinion from the Ohio Attorney General's office. In 1994, this Honorable Ross was asking them about removing files from the records.
Does he give much authorities when he gives his opinion?
He gives Ohio statutes. But, I mean, those Ohio statutes are going to back up.
Look at it. You can use statutes if they apply and they're righteous. So it's good.
Sure. Yeah,
We use plenty of statutes. And when they break a law, we use the statutes to go after them. Because statutes for the law is not against the people. It's against the bureaucrat, the servant. That's what they're written for.
Well, here on page 6, he goes on to say, it is one of the well-recognized canons in statutory construction that when a statute directs a thing may be done by a specified means or in a particular manner, it may not be done by other means or in a different manner.
Let me ask you, when you get off the phone, while you're listening to, you'll be on the phone listening anyway, but while you're listening to the rest of our evening talk, maybe you could stick it on the email, right away, because I'd like to take it with me tomorrow.
Oh, I could pick it up, and put it on the text chat, too.
What's that?
I could copy the URL and put it right on the text.
Oh, you have it up
in
on the
text
site?
Chat.
Oh, yeah, okay, that'll be good. Gerard,
but again, I'll also put the other one with the case law where the Ohio Supreme Court held up that girl submitting criminal charges without going to the prosecutor. I just think that's huge, too.
Right.
Gerard, I think that's great to have.
Are you on the text chat?
I am, John. If
she drops it in there, drop it into my Skype.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Okay,
but I'm just saying it's on a higher forum, too, for those that, you know, lose it or whatever. It's out there on the high. I put a lot of stuff out on a higher forum.
Right.
I try to utilize your spaces for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I wanted to share those with you. Hey, and one other thing real quickly before I go. I hear people talking about other states, and just be careful about that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we don't realize how those states are struggling. Maybe they're really working, but they're just really struggling. They can't find the people or whatever. I think we should call them up personally. Their names are out there on the
side. If you go and look at the states that aren't moving, you'll find there are states that don't have a state coordinator. That's why we established the state coordinator. It's the state coordinator's job to keep things moving. I mean, I try to keep the national moving by sending out occasional emails, but mostly by this Monday night call. This is mm-hmm. what keeps us going. This is what drives us. This is what keeps us active. If we didn't have this, we wouldn't really be learning. We wouldn't be seeing the activity. We wouldn't be seeing the progress. We wouldn't be looking at this and really moving. Wow, we got six states. Oh, we're going to have two more, three more soon. And then we got then, and you see the things exploding. I mean, we get a lot of hits every day. We're getting about 12 to 1,400 hits every day now. So we've been, you know, progressively, for lack of a better word at the moment, but we've been progressively getting more and more hits every week. Our ratings go up, up, up. So we're doing fantastic. It's getting out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying we need to be cautious about, because we don't always know what they're struggling with. And so just call them up and ask, give them a hand, you know.
Right.
That's what I think we should do for each other. Anyway, I just wanted to share those cases with you, about one opinion and the other case, because I just mm-hmm. think they're a good backup or
right.
supporting you know, documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I dropped them in there just now. I hope they're going to open up okay. Let me know if they don't.
Okay, Gerard, get them to me when you can on the Skype.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Anything else?
All right, I'll talk to you later. No, that's about it. Thanks.
Right.
I did hear that Obama signed a resignation on the 17th.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how true that is.
Who
I just
knows?
Heard it today.
I don't listen to any of that stuff.
Yeah, well, anyway.
What's going on. It's all, who cares? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
You
okay,
know?
Then that's it, and I'll let somebody else in, John and Gerard, and we'll talk to you later.
Right.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, it's coming
okay.
up. It's 10:30 now. It's coming up on 11. We're definitely going to be off by 11 tonight. But let's go to the next caller. It is Gina. Go right ahead, Gina.
Hi, John. How you doing? This is Gina
good.
From Monmouth County in New Jersey.
How you doing, Gina?
I'm doing good. I'm holding on and taking life one day at a time. I just want to say that you're doing a fantastic job.
Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So that's how you got to do it, one day at a time.
That's right. And I always knew that it was going to be a divine intervention, because if I hadn't personally experienced the level of corruption, I would never have believed it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And I went through years and years and still going through, you know, stuff, and it's just a miracle. I can't even remember how I was led to National Liberty Alliance. Every day I'd be saying, who sent me a connection with National Liberty Alliance? I just give it to the Most High, his divine guidance, because I've been dealing with corruption, and my case has been, you know, just turned away, and my children have been taken from me and kidnapped. I never saw them again, and I have, my case is so intense that I have like over 30 judges that needs to be investigated, over 40, 50 state workers. I mean, it's all, the corruption level is on every level.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Anyone trying to get any kind of justice is virtually impossible. But that's why I know that this is a divine intervention to bring about justice and have us able to address our grievances. Because there's
mm-hmm.
no way that you can't, when you file papers in on every court level, the corruption is there.
That's right.
I had filed a long time ago in federal court, and they sent me a document saying that they had notified all the defendants by email. And I'm like, I didn't give you anybody's email address, and everybody don't have an email address. So how could you?
And nobody uses email, you know, seriously anyway. I mean, we use it as sort of a supporting thing, but not to receive anything, any notice or a bill or anything like that.
And not to serve them, to summon them to court. I'm like, that is just what I realize. They do what they want to do. They make up. If they want to get you, they'll just make up some documents, and it's just ridiculous, and it's sad. And this here, what's going on now, has to be. It had to be divinely inspired to come about, because it's out of hand. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's so out of hand that this whole place would implode with evil. So I'm just happy to be a part of it, and I know that I was divinely guided to be a part of it, and my case and all the truth to come out. And I just want to thank everybody that's working hard to make this come to fruition, and I'm here for the long haul.
Well, amen. You know, our courts reflect who we are. If we have justice in the courts, we will be a just nation. If we have injustice in the courts, we will be an unjust nation. And indeed, in the name of us, in the name of the people, these people in control of our government is doing evil things in our name. And they'll get away with it as long as our courts controlled by them. But once the people get it back, and if we bring it back to justice and truly bend the knee to the governor of the universe on this area, we will become a just nation again, and we'll be blessed. God bless America again.
That's right, because I knew it was really bad when we actually had a jury trial, and I told my husband, I said, well, we know that they didn't pay the jury off, but we showed evidence that clearly reputed everything that they said, and they came back with a guilty verdict. I'm like, how can you have, it's clearly right in your face that there everything has been fabricated and just put together for the state just to win the case.
Yeah, they just make it look good. It's a facade. They know how the outcome's going to come.
So I'm just being positive, and I'm going to do what I can do, and I'll be happy to, you know, I'll really be happy when I can bring my case before the common law grand jury and bring out the truth and expose those who are hurting people and destroying families and lives.
Well, amen. Yeah, we've got a lot of cases throughout New York, and I know a lot throughout the nation. You can't wait to get this grand jury established and stabilized and then start hearing the people's complaints, you know. So, what's his name? I called a little earlier, and Jason, he was talking about handing papers out somewhere, and particularly in a courthouse. But, you know, if you go someplace and you do something, there is no law. And people who are servants give you a hard time, and they can't tell you what law you're breaking. They tell you to leave or whatever the case may be. You can call your grand. You can go right out, take your cell phone right outside, call the grand jury right there and then if it's during the day and during working hours, and go in there and get these servants on the phone, and they could be straightened right out right then and there. You can have instant action. It's only going to take a few phone calls here and there before the whole system realizes they got to behave. And all of a sudden, you're going to find that they do know how to behave, and they do know how to be polite, and they do know how to call you yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and please and thank you. And yeah, I'll get that for you right away. They do know how to do those things. You know, I was in when I went to get my gun permit here in New York, and I was down in I got taken in. Sort of through a friend of mine who knew the undersheriff, and he kind of got us in there pretty quick. And it still took me 2 years to get my permit here in New York. But nevertheless, I was in there, and I was listening on the phone to this woman. And she seemed so nice, and she was talking to someone on the phone, and she took another call, and she was talking with some people, and blah, 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 blah. And they obviously were people they know, she knew. And when someone came to the bench area where, you know, she takes the papers and stuff, and they had some questions, or they questioned her about this or that. But I saw a monster come out of her. And these people really, nobody corrects them in that office. And, of course, I've experienced this in many government offices where you go in and you ask them any question. They just get nasty, and especially if you're challenging them and say, well, are you sure about that? Well, you know, that's it. They take your head off. So these people have no respect for us. They have to be forced into it.
Definitely, yeah.
So
I just wanted to, you know, express that, and I'm so grateful to be a part of National Liberty Alliance, and I see the divine intervention and blessings coming our way, and we just focus, you know, on the one domino, and it all falls in place.
Well, amen. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, Gina.
You're welcome.
Okay, next caller, wireless caller. Go right ahead.
Hello, John.
360, yep.
It's Craig.
How you doing, Craig?
I've had several people in Washington State and other people from other states ask, when you go into your state tab and you click on your particular state page and that comes up, when it lists the total state members, total counties, and total constituted. They wonder if there's a possibility when you have your constituted counties, if there's some way that either the names could be listed or some place that you could click on.
Yeah, we're working on that.
It would pop up to your state with it divided into counties and having a star on the county saying constituted or something to that effect.
Yeah, that's a good idea with some kind of a star or a different color or something. We are definitely working on that.
Okay. That was my question.
Yeah, I didn't think of identifying the county wherever it shows up as that, but that's a good idea. We're going to see if we can't do that also, and I don't see why we can't. We've got a directory page that's kind of been already set up. I got to really get a hold of the tech on this, and there's some other work that needs to be done. So, it's going to cost us a few bucks. So hopefully, when we get the few bucks in, we'll take care of it. Hopefully, that's soon, because we also have to add areas for other countries that are going to be joining us.
I was wondering if it could be included somewhere in one of the links. Where, you have message board, jurist blog, and fine law that's already created that you can take and slip it in there somewhere where you don't have to create another link to another page.
I'm not sure I understood that.
Well, you have message board, and you can click on that, and that goes to its own page.
Okay.
If you could include that particular shrunk down map with it colored, or put a star or asterisk or whatever it is to show that it's constituted or it's not.
Yeah, I could do that.
You can include it within that link without having to create another link. Say for instance, you turn the total constituted text into a link and you put your cursor on that and it turns to a finger and you hit it and it goes to another page where you have a map. But you would bypass that and you would include it into one of those links that are below, up above the...
Yeah, we'll work out something like that. I don't know that we can make it a clickable link because on the control side, they are clickable links for other purposes to be able to go to certain places and do certain things in the background, so to speak, in the back office or whatever you want to call it. So, but yeah... We're going to do something like that soon. We're going to have a directory, and as soon as the counties are checked off as being constituted, they'll show up on the directory. And then next to the directory, will be the address of the courthouse where the grand jury, is working from. And also, the administrators for the grand jury would be working from. And also a phone number, a direct hotline to the grand jury of that county. The administrators of the grand jury of that county. And that we're going to set up soon.
Okay.
So, okay?
Right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next caller, Arthur. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi,
hey,
John.
Jeff.
Yes, you're good. You know my voice. All right, yep. Excellent. I had a thought. Once we're successful, and God willing, we will be, we have a much bigger problem to contend with, even though technically we have the law in our hands, because the truth of the matter is the people who really have the law in their hands are the ones who control and issue the money supply.
Not anymore. You know what? I'll tell you what, and I've given a lot of thought to this when I puzzled this together, it became very clear. One thing Rothschild did not say, he did say that, give me control of a nation's money and I care not who makes the laws.
Right.
And that's a true statement, but there was something missing from that. If he doesn't control the courts, he cares, let me tell you, because you have to control the courts and they have to be crooked. They have to be criminal in order for the Federal Reserve and the bankers to get away with what they're doing. Because if we have honest courts, if we have just courts, we can take them all down in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but you know what the other problem is? It's not just America that we have to worry about. It's all the other armies of the world.
That's right. We understand that, but... Bear in
mind. Because they can be paid with that lousy Federal Reserve, that whole international banking
system. Well, not anymore.
Once it's gone.
Look, at that may be true, but you see, once America is free, there's a domino effect goes on, especially with the people. And, yeah, there's a couple of countries that might be a danger to us, but most of them in general, not so much so. And but the bottom line is, bear in mind, we're not alone anymore. You know, UK is coming into this. You know, some of these countries, you know, they got, you know, so many counties in it, and equal to maybe, you know, one of our states, 60, 70 counties. I think the UK's got like about 50 or 60 counties in it, and that's it, the whole enchilada. So they can move very quickly. And let me tell you something, you know, England, their courts, their police know a lot more than ours do. They understand the courts. I've watched some of these YouTubes, and I'm amazed where the cops stand up for the people and not the those people ruling in the courthouse. And so when they call the cops stand up for the people. And so they understand more. And just think, if they can establish the common law grand juries and bring those courts back to common law again, which is their desire, just like us. So England will be on board with us. Ireland will be on board with us. Canada will be on board with us. We're not going to be alone no more. Well, a lot of other, New Zealand and Netherlands, they're coming on board. And also, you know, we've got countries that aren't even, you know, don't even have a past of common law. We have one country in Africa. Again, I forget the name of it. They're interested. Huh?
Yeah. What does it start with? Maybe I could think of it.
I don't remember. I just don't remember.
You got a lot of countries.
I have to go dig up the email. I got so many emails laid aside that I got to get back to. It's probably going to take me a day or two just focusing on the emails, just trying to catch up. I don't think I'm going to be able to. But yeah, definitely those foreign countries I'm going to get to.
Definitely got to take control over the money supply of the country, because, I mean, nobody's going to, you know, basically who controls the money controls the law, because no one's going to do anything
true,
for
but
us
America's
without the money.
Well, that's true, but that's already fixed already. It's in our Constitution. States are to accept nothing but gold or silver as the money source. That's it. Once we have justice back in the courts, and the courts require that because that's the law, we're back to where we belong.
And that's all great, but the thing is, you know, once we take over the money supply, is there, what are we going to, you say gold and silver, that's great, is there enough to
absolutely
to deal?
The idea that there's not enough is a lie. Okay,
I'm on the
number
phone.
One
I'm
the
sorry
idea,
John.
Yeah, the idea that there's not enough is a lie to begin with. There's a lot more gold and silver than what they're saying to begin with. But besides that, we're going to take it back from these crooks who stole it to begin with. And believe me, you know, there is a lot of junk silver out there. Junk silver, you know, is your silver coins, man. Your dimes, your quarters, your half dollars, your dollars. You know, all the silver coins. That's your junk silver. And there's plenty of that out there. You know, there's a lot of silver coins and gold coins floating out there just by weight. There's a lot of gold and silver out there. And there's still, you know, copper is still available to be used as the penny. The penny will come back and have some power again. You know, when I was a kid, a couple of pennies was a lot. You know, I used to go to the movies and get into the movies. When I was a kid, my mother gave me 65 cents. That's what I went to the movies with. Got into the movies. We saw a whole bunch of movies, you know, and cartoons and stuff on a Saturday morning. And you got your popcorn and your soda, and you still had a couple of pennies in your pocket.
I think it was only until about the year, like, 1878 or something like that, when finally, you know, I don't know for what reason, but the penny yet again, you know, actually gained full legal tender status. Can read about
in 1914, 1915, 1916, let's say 1916, when the Federal Reserve came about, up until that point, the dollar remained totally stable and only moved up and down one penny. And the value of an ounce of gold was $18.96 was what it cost to get an ounce of gold. And that, of course, was in silver dollars to get an ounce of gold. So it was, you know, $18.96.
And what year again?
That was 1916. And prior to that, you know, I traced the value of a dollar, you know, going all the way back into the 1700s and looking at the silver dollar related to the gold. an ounce of gold, and it only moved back and forth a penny or two. It never went anywhere. It was so stable.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Click on those two downloads. Make sure you get them. I had a lot of trouble getting them. I can't even get back on them online, but I grabbed them. I got them in PDF. As soon as I went in there, it's like, boom, they won't even reproduce them on the site or anything. But I did get them, and they're there waiting to download. You should grab them.
All right, I'll put it on my desktop right now.
John?
Anything else, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we're going to have to, you know, with the mint, you know, the U.S. Mint or whoever they make our coinage, we're going to have to do something where we take the power to coin money. I mean, it's going to have to go back to the people. I mean, because they're
well,
just...
Well, yeah, of course.
You know,
they
have to
get
off the Fed. Huh?
That was the job of the federal government, and the federal government was a trust. It wasn't a corporate trust. It was a trust for the people. It came together, and its power and authority came by the contract. The contract was the Constitution. The Constitution. And so we just need to get back to what our founders put together. That's why I say over and over again, when we do what we have to do, we're going to return back to 1789, right to the beginning. We're going to have the opportunity to start right from the beginning what our founders gave us with hindsight of what we shouldn't do and what we need to be careful of.
But I'm telling you, once we come to power, one of the first things we have to do is take over the money supply. Otherwise, it's game over.
Well, that's going to come automatically. Trust me, there's plans for that, and we're not going to talk about it. But we do have some plans. It's a mechanism built in what we're doing that's going to happen automatic. But there's something else that we can do, and we're going to talk about it when we get to that point. That's going to energize that and move it very quickly. Extremely quick. It's going to be light speed, as a matter of fact.
All right, some things are best left quiet because you don't want them to get privy to what we know.
Let's change the subject.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hey, nice talking to you, John. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Be well.
All right, next caller, we got to move on a little faster because we're coming close, is Dean, 716.
Yeah, hello.
Hey,
John,
how you doing?
How are you?
Good, and yourself?
Yeah, hey, when you finally finalize the date over there in Columbia, I'd like to get over there. I'm in Frewsburg on the western side of the state, but I'm going to try to be there to support you.
Great, great. Yeah, we need as many people as possible can make this trip to get here to this. And right now it's tentatively for the 22nd, and we're going to try to seal that up this week.
Okay, well, I'll try to make it out there. Hey, I have a question, and... not to be a naysayer, but have you guys contemplated the War Powers Act and how that affects your filings in the civil courts?
Well, yeah, it has nothing to do with common law. It has no authority or power. It's all part of the fraud, and there's no way they're going to be able to apply anything from the fiction side on us.
Well, I agree with your argument.
Well, the War Powers Act, you know, it gives us some. There is some leverage in that, but it's irrelevant because, you know, the bottom line, it really leans towards the enemy.
Well,
and
it's not irrelevant because it puts the civil authorities that you're dealing with under the war. But that's what do you think they take an oath to? They take an oath to their constitution.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
The constitution doesn't apply to us. When
that's
they look
true.
The presumption. When anybody goes into a court, anybody deals with their clerks, with their notaries, with their system. Okay, there's a presumption that you're a citizen. Okay.
Well,
we
you just
you
said the key words.
Under their authority. And I understand you guys seem to be pretty tight as far as you making a distinction between the corporate fiction. Okay, and the actual natural person. But what I'm saying, their trump card is the War Powers Act. Okay,
right.
Under that,
well,
there is no constitution. There are no rights. It's nothing. It's just they can do whatever they want. And that this is why I think what you're doing is important, and why I'm going to be there because ultimately our argument is correct. But I honestly believe that they're going to smack us down. with their War Powers Act, and that's the end of the story. They haven't look. They're all bar attorneys. Okay?
Let me get a word in here. You said quite a bit, and I want to just get to the point. You said the key words is their assumption, and that's the key to this whole thing. Look at the emperor's got no clothes. You know, when that little kid stepped up and pointed up, and the emperor's got no clothes, all of a sudden they realized it, and that's what we have here. You know, they're saying the color green is purple. And everybody believes it's purple. But the day when we reveal that it's really green, everybody says, whoa, I didn't know it was green. I thought it was purple. You see, the point is, reality is the way one perceives it. The court has its power as long as the people believe it. Once they realize the fraud and it's exposed and they understand it, and it takes the core people, you know, just a small percentage of people to get it first, but the rest of the people will follow along. Okay, and especially when they see the freedom and the opportunities that come from what we're doing, okay, all of a sudden everybody's going to say, wait a second, we've been defrauded all these times. You know, as Kennedy said, if the people understood how our banks work and what's really going on in this country, there'd be a revolution tomorrow morning. Now, I think he was quoting someone else a little earlier in his time, but that's a fact. Okay, and I'm telling you right now, once we expose the fraud, and the paper that we filed exposes the fraud, and what's really interesting is they see it. When they read that paper, they saw it, and a chill went right down their spine. And that's the key to this whole thing. If they can see it, then everyone can see it. And when the authority comes out that the people went into court and actually took it over and went into the courts and are now sitting in the courts with authority and power, and now we're getting justice. And believe me, I want to tell you, a lot of people can relate to the injustice in the courts. Everybody knows, especially in the poorer neighborhoods. They all know you don't get justice when going to court. I don't want to go to court. There's no justice there. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows a lawyer is a liar. He's a liar for hire is all he is. Everybody knows that. You know, there's
only lawyers. There's only attorneys.
Well, attorneys.
No more lawyers.
Yeah, well,
again. You're a lawyer because you know the law and you practice the law. But they're attorneys. Their goal is just to turn our property over to the system. That's their only goal.
Well, I agree with you. And again, you know, I agree they're not lawyers. They're statuettes or something because they believe in statutes. And they're really minions for the New World Order. Attorneys. We'll call them attorneys. So
yeah.
Everybody knows they're a liar. Look at you, all the jokes out there. A plane crashed in between, what is it? A plane crashed and, I won't even go into it. There's quite a few jokes about lawyers.
Woe unto you lawyers. That's all we need to say.
Well, there you
woe
go.
Unto you
that
lawyers.
Establishes it all. Huh?
Yeah.
Lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees have always been the problem. And that brings you all into the same thing, right into their courts. And you go back and study the law, and you can see the struggle, you know, throughout the first century and even the second, and it continues on now between the courts of equity and the common law courts. And it's all with the priestly, control of the courts. It's the same thing. It's been the same problem. That and of course, the bankers. So,
I agree, but I'm just to let you know. I just see where your research was and your understanding of their presumptions that when
yeah,
you
we're
walk
very
in,
much. I want to tell you another problem that they have, and this is something I've learned from experience. When I go into a federal court, I'm playing chess, and believe me, if you play chess good, you're going to win, and you're going to win quick. Okay, you go into a state court. Those guys don't even know how to play checkers. They don't even read your papers. They have no clue. For the first time, I think they've read some papers. And these papers, they had to have a lot of time to read. But you know what? We have been schooling all of the oath takers here in New York. Okay? So as we've been schooling them for the past 7 or 8 weeks, we send them letters every week. Okay? And we're bringing them along little by little. We're schooling them. But we've been sending it to the judges, too. So they've been schooled also. They're reading them. There's no doubt about it because they want to know what we're doing. Well, what positions? How are we going to battle them? And that's why when they finally got our quantum, it all clicked for them. They understood. They got to do whatever they can to keep us out of that courtroom.
Well, okay. We're gonna get them in there one day. And like I said, I'd like to be there, but I know what we're dealing with, and it's it's going to be interesting in Colombia. If we can get a foot in Colombia, and just a question, because you're pretty pretty knowledgeable. You are going at the court in Colombia and not in the court in Colombia.
Well, you got to understand.
You know what I'm saying? That's,
of course.
They're liars, John. They're liars, and
yes,
they play word games, okay? So any word that entrap. So you're going at the court in Colombia, correct?
Well, we're going into the common law court, and you got to understand the interpretation of a court. You know, a court is the sovereign and his entourage, okay, which is his justices, his judges, collectors, okay? That's what a court is.
It's the sovereign. It's the suit of the sovereign.
Right, and it's made up of ultimately of the jury. Okay, that's what it's made up. The king comes in with his jury, and the king really doesn't say much. It's the jury that speaks and goes through the process, and the king signs the paper at the end. Now we have judges, which are called justices, to take that position. Okay,
John,
so it's the same thing.
But you see,
look at our writ, no, I understand, but let me finish what I'm saying.
But look at our writ of prohibition. They wouldn't treat a king that way. So there's a presumption there that you're not the king, that you're not the sovereign.
But no. Listen, have you read the paper? Okay?
Here's the writ of prohibition. Yes,
here is the writ of prohibition. It says experience has shown that these inferior courts are obstinate in their seasons of jurisdiction, therefore obstruct justice. Thus, we find it necessary to redress this issue beforehand, preventing the delay of justice by means of this extraordinary writ of prohibition, clearly stating obstator principis against nisi prius. That is to say, we, the jury, resist the first encroachment and proceeding according to the supreme common law of the land, coram nobis. Now, all they have to do is look up these Latin words, and they'll understand exactly what we're saying. Therefore, this superior court of record forbids the inferior court not of record, that's the nisi prius court,
that's the court
you're talking about, and the court isn't a building, it's the officers of the court or the people. In the case of a nisi prius, it's officers of the court. In the case of a common law court, it's the people. Therefore, this superior court of record, the people, forbids the inferior court of record, the officers, from assuming jurisdiction in this matter over which it has no control or legitimate authority, and its judges is to function as a magistrate. See the law of the case. 26 pages on this stuff. All right? What are they going to do?
I know. That's why I want to be there. I really want to see what are they going to do when they have to recognize a superior court.
Well, what do you think they're going to do if they show up? If they come in, just like if we go into their court, then they're there, and then they're recognizing us.
What I think is their oath to the 14th Amendment would prevent them from ever submitting or putting a magistrate in that court under that circumstances. I think they're going to let the little ones go, a little common claim or a common law claim here or there, but when I think it comes to this one, they'll never put one of theirs. One of their bar judges is not going to sit there and rule over their other brothers.
We don't need them. It doesn't matter. We'll go in. Listen, we don't need the judge. The judge is a magistrate. We're a private attorney general. It's a tribunal of the people. We don't need to ask his permission. We don't even need to have him there, really. And they know that we understand that. So the minute we get into a building with them, they're finished because it's the law of the case. I mean, unless they're going to write back and say, well, we refuse to meet you unless you drop these requirements. You think they're going to do that? I mean, they tried to get us into the court early on because they didn't know what we knew, and they figured if they got us in there, they would be able to say, don't you do this anymore, or we'll hold you in contempt of court, which they would have done because we would have been in their nisi prius court, and they would have had the authority to tell us that. They were even going to give us free docket numbers and waive the $310 to get us in their clutches. So now we're over there shoving $310 in their hands trying to get into their clutches, and they don't want us. So they obviously They know that we know that they know, and that's where we're at, and that's why everybody
they
has
were,
to get
they
behind
They were dying
us.
To get us into court in the beginning.
Right, and now they're
they
like,
give,
can't
they
wait
were willing to give us a number, an index number for free.
That's what I just said. That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is different. This is, listen, the same old bull crap can't keep going on. And the thing is as long as people watch this and pay attention, they won't get away with it. They've been getting away with it, but this is the line in the sand where they won't get away with it, and this is why everybody has to pay attention and say, hey, this is the people. These are these guys' boss. This is who we have. These are the people that wrote the contract that you operate under. You know, we're down to fundamental principles, and if we don't have that, guess what? We have nothing. You better go home and get your gun and declare war, because what you're saying is there is no Constitution, there is no Bill of Rights, you have no Fifth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, whatever you want to pick, you don't have it. So if they're going to admit to that, good. Okay, admit to that, and then we'll get down to business. Right now we're doing business with the pen and pencil. If they want to take it, you know, what's going to happen is this is going to push the envelope. You know what I mean? It's like you either get back in your box or your crate. What happens if you have a dog that won't get in his crate and he's looking at you and he's baring his teeth and all that stuff? At some point, you're going to have to shoot him. Okay? So
I think we lost him, by the way. But go ahead.
Maybe. But we don't want to go there. You see, we're doing this peacefully. And let me tell you something. There's plenty of crazy people all over the nation planning for an unpeaceful revolution, and they believe the only way is with bullets. And you see, I don't believe that, because if we get to the bullets, guess what? We'll never get back to where we are even today. You'll never have these conversations again. This will never happen. You might be able to go to some state someplace, you know, in that corner of the country where they're always bothering you and you're always having, you have to scratch out for your liberty. But it'll never be the way it is right now between all the states. We'll never be able to contact each other. We'll never be able to get together like this. Liberty lost will never be regained along the same lines. It'll never be to the same level that we have right now. And that's why
it was a miracle, the beginning of what we have. We can't lose it.
Right. And so just like Patrick Henry said, he says, when are we going to be better able to fight? When will we be more prepared? When will we have more resources? They're squeezing us every day. The money's coming out of us. They're ruining business. And the idea is that when you're hungry and you can't afford gas and all this other stuff, guess what? You're not going to be able to resist very well, are you? And so that's why they know this is the time, and this is the line in the sand, and that's what this has come to. And that's why everybody has to be vigilant and on top of this and supportive of it. And I think phone calls and letters and any other thing that brings a cry across the nation that's so loud that they start running, because that's what's going to happen. When we come in, if we prevail, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to run. The guys that have the most skeletons in the closet that know what they did, we don't even know what they did. We won't know why they're running. They'll look at us. It'll look like when you see Casper the Friendly Ghost and he came in there and runs. That's what they're going to do. I mean, eventually they'll stop running and they'll get together and they'll make a stand, but that's going to bring us to, you know, that standoff. And listen, I'd rather have that standoff then after they're running, you know what I mean, when we have a time to collect together and educate and prepare and get ready for them, you know, because ultimately it's not going to be an easy fight. And believe me, it's going to be. This is not only nationwide. I do believe that this is international scale. We got people watching us all over because it's a small world. We're an electronic world. Everybody can hear us. This stuff is all over the place. You think that this country or your state or your county is the only one having these problems? Everybody's having these problems. So when the word gets out, and much of what they're doing, I believe, is psyops. And the reason their system works is because we cooperate with it, and we're scared of it. It's the emperor has no clothes, or pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Once people say enough is enough, you know, they want the situation where, I saw a picture with the Nazis loading Jews up onto train cars, and they're and the soldiers are standing there with their guns slung over their back, and the bolt is laying bare open, and they got people up against them getting pushed into the car. I mean, this guy's gun's on his back with the bolt open. I mean, I know how to use a gun, and I know I could grab that gun and close that bolt and kill six of them guards standing there. But the people were too much of a sheeple to even think about doing something like that. They wouldn't do it because they played all the psyops that they're playing on us, so they marched to their deaths, and they didn't even resist, you know? And for us as Americans, I mean, for an American not to resist, if you're a true American, listen, you'd rather be dead than go down. They used to say back in when they were hunting, I'd rather be dead than red. Well, guess what? Now's the time, because that's what scares them. They're teaching our children in the schools that there's nothing worth dying for. They got them afraid of death, and that's why they don't like people that understand death. You know what I mean? That have faith, and that believe in life after death, because that makes you very dangerous, because you might actually, you know, be willing to die for what you believe in. And that's a problem for them. And they don't like anybody that thinks like that, because you got to be subservient to the state. I'm telling you, George Orwell's 1984 is here right now. They're rewriting the words and the history, and they're telling you, how many fingers do I hold up? Oh, two? No, three? It's whatever I say I'm holding up. That's the world we live in right now. So it's time. I mean, this is it.
Okay. All right. It looks like we lost our caller. You know, I just went through I think I'd call it a denial of service on my computer here. My whole computer went wacky, and my mic started to go off and on, and all these tabs on my must have been 150 tabs opened up on my computer.
I can't get any browser right now. All my browsers.
I don't know what's going on here.
I know what's going on. All my browsers are crashed. We don't even know if they're hearing us right now.
Well, we'll go to the next caller and find out.
Because I'm not even on. I can't even get on the website.
Let's see. 704-904. You got the mic? Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you very much.
So there are people out there. Joan? Okay.
Yeah. How you doing? This is Joaquin from San Jose, Florida.
How
are
you doing, Joaquin? Yes,
pretty
good.
I would like to say a few things. First is when I tried, I will be there in New York on the April 22nd. But on the date that you had for the 7th, I searched for the price on the airplanes, and at 7 days, the price was $188. Well, it was not sure the date, so I checked on the 6th day, and it went to $300. Then I checked on the 5th, it went to $500.
Wow.
Then on the 4th, it was $800. And then only 3 tickets. So that you're giving us to the 22nd of April is very good, because we can get a deferred ticket, and we'll be in our... at least in my budget.
Right, so
and
if you get it early, it's cheaper then, right?
Yeah, it's cheaper. So, but another thing, if I lock the price and I get the ticket and the date change, I lose my money.
Right. Yeah, so we'll know hopefully before this week is out, we'll make a solid arrangement on the 22nd, but we got to see what's going to happen in the next day or two.
Very good. Now,
yeah, I wouldn't buy any tickets till our case is back on the docket number and scheduled. Then you can buy tickets.
Okay.
And of course, you know, they're going to try to play games, I'm sure, if they can. But you know, it's not in their hands either.
Yep. Now I will be there because I know that you guys are right on what's supposed to be done. I agree 100%. And when we think about it, and we I hear people like the last caller that he was not sure what we are going to happen, all that. We are saying that we need to pray to God. Good. We do. It's very important. But when we pray to God, then God would like from us to do our part. which is to love God with all our heart. Now, how do we love our God? God said, if you love me, you will do my commandments. Now, if we pray and we don't do the commandment, guess what? Well, I think we are wasting our time. But when we pray and at the same time, in humility, try to do our best to obey his commandments, then a blessing is coming. And that's why we have the blessing on the National Liberty Alliance, because God knows that we are coming in humility, with humble heart, doing our best, not knowing everything, but asking him to give us light, what is best to do in the moment. When you do that and you pray and you have God with us, then everything comes clear. Then you understand your rule to be supreme ruler and to be the king and to be in the king's bench. Then you can see and understand that if you are the king, that gift given by God, the unalienable right of liberty, that nobody can take it from you, the unalienable right of life, that nobody can take it from you, neither you can take that life. Because it does not belong to you, it belongs to God.
Amen.
When you understand that, then you can see that those civil servants, if you are a king, they cannot tell you one rule. Because in the Constitution, our founding fathers, in their wisdom, in the Amendment 9, we have all the rights. And in the Amendment 10, we have all the power that they are not enumerated in the Constitution. So when you are looking at the civil servants, when we go to New York to that court, you are coming in as a grand jury, as the king, talking to the servants. And then, in humility, but we will not accept not one order from no one, because we are the king bench, and we have the right to demand our papers.
Well,
and
amen.
They don't. And if they break the law, they are facing rightly to be in jail, and they will, without no force, but with all the power and authority. Now, the other thing that God gave us, there is another caller that was talking about money, about the feds and all that. There is one thing that we all need, and without it, we cannot do nothing. That thing that we all need and that we all have, and without it we cannot do nothing, is called money. Well, if we all need money, what will happen to us is suddenly we don't have money. Well, our website will be down. We will not be able to move. We will not be able to support each other. We will not be able to pay our bills for phones, and we will not pay our electricity, so we will be defeated by money. So, if that is true and is for us, what will happen if we also can take the money of the civil servants? What will happen if you can take the house of the judge? Why? Because he's a criminal. Why? Because he broke the law. Why? Because when you break the law, they take a lien in your property and they take everything that was in the Magna Carta. The lords told to the king, if one of your governors dare to take one of us the property, we will come to you, we will take your house, we will take your castle, we will take your cart, we will take your horses, we will take your dogs, we will take your cats. Everything that you own, even your closet with your cloth. Well, if that is what our founding fathers did, guess what? We can do the same thing. And that is money. That is the power that we have. That is what you can do. If they had done wrong to you, have you heard about the mechanical lien? A constructor do a work for your house, and make a renovation, or build a swimming pool, or build your garage, and then you decide not to pay. Guess what will happen to you in your property? It will become a mechanical lien. That contractor will take your property, and in 90 days, if you don't pay, guess what? He has all the rights. If he files all the papers properly, he will take that lien of your property. He will go to the sheriff after 90 days and put your property for sale. And then the sheriff will come and will take you out of your property because you did not pay your bill. All your stuff maybe will be put out or not. They even will take your stuff. So that's another approach that is available for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is something we have planned that's going to be something we can't talk about that's going to help us in that sense. And bear in mind, you know, everybody that listens in with us and involved, if they don't know by now, they should know. But if they don't know, you should be getting some silver coins. The best, in my opinion, the best thing to get is junk silver. And people should be getting silver coins. Every week you should get a few silver coins and put them away, because those silver coins are going to be very valuable in a collapsed economy. When the monetary system collapsed, those silver coins are going to be worth a lot. And so remember, a ounce of gold back in the turn of the century, coming into the 20th century, an ounce of gold was valued at $18.96. That's $18.96 in silver. Okay, so that's how, you know, and gold right now is, about what, $1,200, and it's $1,300. I'm not sure where it's at right now for an ounce.
$1,300.
Yeah. But it did go very close to 2,000. And I'm going to tell you, when the whole market drops out, the price of gold is going to go $10,000 an ounce. It's just going to be hyperinflation. And mm-hmm. if you have that silver, okay, let me tell you, it's going to be worth a heck of a lot. And you can do gold. I say silver, particularly junk silver, because everybody understands the silver coin, the silver dollar. You know, everybody understands the silver dimes and the silver dollars and the quarters. Everybody. So that's why I say get that.
Yep. I agree. So, well, thank you very much, John, Gerard, for all what you're doing. And you know, do not be despair. What you have, we all have in every country, and it's the same. And we are all fighting the same issue, which is arrogant, and they don't want to lose power, but they know that they took it without right, and we discovered that belongs to us, and we are coming back, and we will take it peacefully. We don't need no arms, we don't need no violence. With a little bit of patience and to God praying, and at the same time, with this sledgehammer pounding, we will get in. One county will get in sooner or later, and it's going to be very soon. We got already the date, April 22nd, or maybe earlier. You know, what we need to do is not despair, to encourage each other and to spread the truth that what we are doing is exactly the law. Is exactly what our founding fathers gave us in inheritance, and we want our inheritance back. They don't have the right to have the grand jury elected by them. We have it enwritten in the Magna Carta 61. We can elect at our pleasure from our peers the grand jury.
That's right.
That's what we are doing.
And that's exactly what we're doing. I'd like to go back to the king a little bit because, we go back into the Bible and we get into the Old Testament and Samuel, where the people wanted the king, and the Lord said, told them he was the king, but they wanted a king, mm-hmm. and so he let them choose the king. He actually said, okay, take Saul, and he became the king, and that became a whole mess with that. But he also mm-hmm. raised up his own king. In his own, by his own will, and that was David. And the Lord tells us that He is the King of Kings. And so we are all kings. He calls us princes. So we're the sons of God, the princes of God, the kings. And our founding fathers understood this, and that's why they moved this into this direction, not having one king as a man to control it, but everybody is a prince, everybody's a king. They're king, you know, they rule their own domain, whatever that is that you create in your world. Mm-hmm. And so when we go into those courts, remember, in the you know, we have liberty because we're sons of the King. And that's the only reason we have liberty, because it, again, is it's a blessing. And again, our founding fathers understood this when they wrote the Constitution, and they put into the preamble, the purpose of the government is to protect the blessings of liberty. Okay? Mm-hmm. So liberty is being a blessing, so you have to be a king of the King. You know, the King of Kings is, of course, the Lord, and we are His princes. And with that knowledge and understandings, we go into that courtroom and we rule. And we rule righteously and justly in the name of the Lord, of course, but, you know, in the people. The people are the contract there is between the people, which is the Constitution, Bill of Rights included, between the servants and the people. And that's what we're there to represent. So... And I think they're getting it. They don't want to get it because it doesn't work in their world. It turns their entire world upside down. Everything they were taught, everything they learned was a lie. And I think the judges are getting it. And they're frightened.
Exactly. And it's very, very clear in our Constitution. The first three words of the Constitution is, like we all know, we the people. And the first four words of the preamble are do, ordain, and establish. So we the people do ordain and establish what? First Amendment, Congress shall write no law prohibiting the people to petition in the government for redress of grievances. There you go. We have we the people do ordain. That means that you are the king and ruler ordaining who? Congress. Or ordaining to the judges, ordaining to the officers, ordaining to the employees of the county in your county. Well, if we the people do ordain, that is telling you that you have the power to ordain for what? To establish justice, to provide for a commune defense, to secure domestic tranquility, to provide the general welfare, and most important, like you said, John, to secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. That is telling you that you are the king. That is telling you that we, the people, we are the one who do ordain the law. We are the law. And as long as we do not trespass another people, another king, we are okay. The problem is when they trespass, and that's what they are doing to us. They are trespassing our right, and we are getting it back because they have arrogance and it's corruption. But it's very, very sorrowful and painful. You know, I don't care about my property that they took, but when I hear that they break families, that they take the children for money, you know, that they take the elderly and kill them to take their real estate's property. That is a crime that cried to heaven, and that's why God is moving His people, you, John, Gerard, and we all, to bring back the posterity, the blessings of liberty for our children. We are doing this for our children. It's not the time of our children to fight. We are the one, our generation. We all that are called by God, we live along our children and we stand up and grab that torch of liberty, remove all the chains that they are putting on, make it clear so we can hand it one day to our children and tell them, look, we did it. We fight for liberty, but remember, eternal vigilance is the assurance of liberty. It did happen to us. And it will happen to you, my son. Now, here it is. You got it free and clear. fight for it and prevent that nobody will take it, because they will come again. It's repeated over and over and over in history, and it is in our time to fight, and we are very blessed to live in the times that we are living, in the fight that we are fighting, because in the time of our Lord it was not easy. In the time of the beginning of the church, it was not easy, neither for us. But look, we have a lot of tools to help each other, like the internet, emails, phones, cell phones. They need 30 days to communicate with each other. We can do it in 1 minute. They will tell us if we fail, why? Why we give you the internet? Why we give you the Twitter? Why we give you the computer? Why we give you the videos? Why we give you all that if you don't use it for liberty, to stand for what is value in this life? It's not material things. It's the principles. Life, liberty, property, the right to assembly, the right to speech. All those rights that God gave us to us. That is what we are fighting for. Thank you for all what you are doing. And I'm one more with you. Whatever you need, I'm here to help you. God bless you all. Thank you very much.
What state is he in?
He's in Florida, right? Oh, no, yeah, you're in Florida, right?
Yeah, I'm in Florida, San Agustin.
Yeah.
What's your name? Joaquin. Oh, well, listen, you're welcome. I think you're well-spoken enough to articulate any time. I'd be proud to have you, you know, as part of that. So I'm glad. And you're planning on coming, too, so that's a good thing.
And I have a little pin that I have designed that I would like to bring you guys. It's about the Magna Carta.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very, very good thing. So they will know that we are coming from our founding fathers, and that we have all the laws in our sides, you know. And they can, and we are not willing to surrender. Like you said, I would rather to die with my boots on than to be a slave, you know.
That's right.
As long as I live, I will stand for our liberty. For all of us and for our children. And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Good night.
Okay, thank you, Joaquin.
Yep.
Okay, next caller. We got to move it a little faster because it's getting late. I knew I wouldn't get out of here early. Sarah, go right ahead.
Hi, John. I just want to say to everybody that, you know, it's very important to understand we're a world community. It's not just America. We're all God's children. And we do have friends all over the world that are standing in solidarity and watching us. And watching them in the corporate court, what kind of behavior they're going to be doing. So I just want everybody to be aware that we're not by ourselves, but we are setting a standard worldwide. And with that, I'll say good night.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, next caller, 845 number, 522. 845-522.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yes, I'd like to say my name is Sheila, and I'm calling from Orange County, New York. First, glory be to God.
Amen.
And actually, my question was answered regarding the War Powers Act. But I also would like just to take the opportunity to thank everybody at NLA. And John, and the other gentleman's name I never seem to get.
Gerard.
Pardon?
Gerard. Well, you can call him Jerry.
Gerard, yes. Thank you all so much. But what I wanted to add while I was sitting here was, and I was thinking, so many in America right now, and they're in those positions where they're either clerks, police officers, what have you. You know, I truly pray for these people because a lot of times the people at the top know, just like that lady, you know, where she said, no, don't take those papers, and the clerk is now put out there. You know, her neck is on the line because she's following these orders. And that's the thing with America right now. A lot of these people in positions to say, you know what, I just can't comply with this because, you know what, my neck is on the line. And unless you show me something where I have a legal standing, and I mean, and they don't, then, you know, to put a person in that position. But the thing is, that's where you have to weigh, you know, what, because right now, all of us are being used. Everybody that's doing whatever they're doing, they're being used, down to the police officers. I heard that they want to bring them down to tasers eventually. That's because eventually military, they're going to use police to help enforce their laws against us and then turn around and use the military to enforce upon them. So it's like everybody, if they could get into that mindset that, you know, this is how we got here. Like, everybody needs a paycheck. They need to go to work. So as long as, you know, we're here and we're, you know, we're doing, but people in positions, teachers, you know, I think that, you know, I don't know, it's hard when you need that job, but, you know, people just have to start saying, you know, I cannot comply.
Right now. Those are all freshmen today.
Sherrod, you're coming over.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I said, you know, we all should just say, you know, we do not comply, you know, as far as the workforce.
Right. Well, we've been very well trained to be slaves and just do the will. You know, in the Roman army, one of the things that were a very powerful army, as everybody knows, and when they came marching down and they came in the ranks with all these different rows of soldiers come marching into the fight, the more seasoned soldiers were in the back, and they put the younger soldiers, the ones who were just learning, the new ones up front, and of course they were frightened to death. But the seasoned soldiers in the back had their swords in the backs of those people, so they couldn't move back; they had to go forward, and otherwise they'd take them out themselves. And that's what they've got us doing, so to speak. You know, they've got everybody is stuck in a situation, for that paycheck, for instance, or they don't know how to go around and say no because they're going to lose their job. They don't want to do the right thing, because they'll lose their job, and things are real tight right now. So we all have that sword in the back, but we have to just say no. That's what we have to do.
Right.
And,
right. Well,
but
that's
these
all
people,
I wanted to say.
You know, that excuse for them is not an excuse at all, because we can't allow them to have that excuse, for if we do, we're going to lose.
Right. Well, I've been doing a lot of studying, and I thank you all for being here so that we can be filled with this information and spirit. So I just thank you all, and I'm just going to sign off because I know it's late. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, next caller, 406. We're starting to come to the end. And, got to get going, so we'll try to move it along. 406-224, wireless caller.
Yeah, this is Julie in Montana.
How you doing, Julie in Montana?
Good. I have one question, but first I just wanted to make a statement. In Montana, we have three counties that are constituted, not zero. And we've got 53 more to go.
Right. So, now in Montana, what, it's not showing that there's none there? It's not showing those three?
Well, the man that called earlier said that he put Montana on the list of ones that haven't done anything or whatever. So I just thought I'd bring that up. But
okay.
The question I had was about the Linux program. Are we? I was kind of waiting around for us to
Yeah, I haven't been able.
Together.
Yeah, that is something we definitely have to do, and we got so many things to do. But we're kind of stuck on what we're doing right now, so we can't really, we're going to get to that and work on that. There's a lot of things we need to do. That's just one of our programs.
So what needs to be done on that? I've downloaded the book. I've been on that site and downloaded the book.
Right.
I haven't
we either need someone who's done it and knows exactly how to do it and can write it up very, very carefully and maybe do an audio on it, or I have to do it, or someone has to do it and make sure we can do it correctly and tell everyone else how they can do it. You know, and that's really what we have to do.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll look at it a little bit and see, because I know that it's kind of getting to be a deadline on that.
Right.
According to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. That was
yeah, definitely.
Question.
They're getting into our computers. I think we've experienced that tonight because Gerard and I both had a problem at the same time. His,
yeah.
I think, a little different than mine, but it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen for one of my computer here. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what made me think of the question. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's all right, I have.
Thanks
God
for
bless.
The call. Thank you. You too. And 203, next caller, wireless caller. Got to make it short because we've got to end in a few. So. Oh, I lost. 203, hit your button again.
Go ahead, John.
It knocks you out. Edward, go ahead. But 203, hit that button again to come back into the queue. Go ahead, Edward.
Yeah, could you hear me, John?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, I guess, you know, like you say, we're getting kind of late, but I just wanted to mention then quickly on those, the share situation, the research I was doing for you on that. I just wanted to, you know, share some of that with, you know, with other people on the call. I know you got a lot of people on here, but you know, I could wait till next week. You know, you've had a long day. But anyway, keep up the good work.
Right, we appreciate it. All right, we'll pick that up next week then.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Let's go to the next caller. 203, if you want to get back into the queue, go right ahead. Meanwhile, the 516 wireless caller, go right ahead.
Hi, it's Lydia from New York City.
How are you? How you doing, Lydia? How you doing? Only got a couple of minutes, so you got to make
it
quick.
I'm going to talk fast. First of all, don't buy the excuse that law enforcement loses their job for doing the right thing. For doing the right thing, they got so many laws, including whistleblower laws, to protect them that it's not funny. So don't waste any crocodile tears. They know what they're doing
is wrong.
Yeah,
but they may. Some of these people may not know it, but I think the people in the FBI, they know.
They have unions. Don't worry about it. Even the police, they have unions. They're all protected against doing the wrong thing. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is, very briefly, I used the Supreme Court case from 1992, and I ran it past a lower federal court judge who ignored it. So that kind of caused me some concern. So because I'm in Manhattan, I have access to the top law schools. So and some of the top minds. So I went to one of the top law schools, and there were some very bright young people who decided to help me because they're like, hey, what you're doing is right. So they told me the things that I can do to strengthen the argument that Judge Scalia makes in dicta. And I'm going to go off and do it, and I look forward to reporting positive results in the upcoming weeks.
Okay.
There you go. I'm done.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Lydia.
You're welcome.
Okay, next caller. Got to move along. Getting late. We got a few more callers still. Helen, go right ahead.
Oh, can you hear me? It's not Helen, but yeah.
Okay.
Charles from New York. I just wanted to make a statement as far as Linux. You guys had on their College in the Clouds. And I'm actually using it right now. For the XP users out there, you only have about a week before XP goes down, or at least the updates and support for it. So, yeah, College in the Clouds, it's easy, straightforward directions.
What's College in the Clouds?
It's actually somebody who posted on your website, on National Liberty Alliance, about using Linux. And it gives you all the directions on how to... not only download Linux, but download it into a virtual box that keeps it contained so it's safe to use and test it, which is what I'm doing now. And
So are you savvy enough with computers to be able to feel very confident to be able to do this well?
You just follow the directions. You don't need to know anything.
Could you get us a copy of the directions? I know you mentioned it up on our site or something somewhere, but can you email me something that we can put together for instructions for people?
No, actually, when you go to College in the Clouds, the directions...
College in the Clouds, okay.
Yeah, that's collegeintheclouds.com or .org. I'm pretty sure it's .com, but anyway, yeah, you got all the directions right there at the bottom of the page. They give you the directions to do the Linux... set up.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's really simple. And I'm on my computer right now, and I've been using it for about 5 days.
Uh-huh.
It's working great. I'm able to test the Linux before I actually download it to my computer in the VirtualBox, and those are directions that come that you get at College in the Cloud. So
does it show anyway? I've got what I'd like to do is I've got a lot of hard drives on my computer. I'd like to take a put another one in there and download it and then install it onto another hard drive so I don't injure any of my other hard drives. Is that difficult to do? Does it give that kind of instruction?
Well, once you get to the sites where you're going to download from, like linuxmint.com, that'll be in the instructions also. Then you'll see that they have option. They have their instruction manuals for doing like dual booting, I think is what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have the option when you turn on your computer, give you the option to use the Linux operating system or your Windows operating system or whatever other operating systems you might want to use. And you can open them all in this virtual box, which is pretty cool because, like I said, it doesn't download to your computer. You actually open it up in this virtual box that contains it, and if it starts acting up, you just delete it instead of downloading it directly to your computer where you could have problems. So it's
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the directions are that simple. It's literally two downloads. You download VirtualBox, and then you download the operating system that you choose to use into that, and when you open it, you can open it in the box. And it's very easy, just a few steps.
Okay, right, I'll definitely take a look at that and see if we can put something together onto our site.
Somebody mm-hmm. just posted on the chat, too, because I'm actually
okay.
using the Linux right now and watching the chat at National Liberty.
Great.
Alliance. Yep. So anyway, guys, love what you're doing, and you got my support, and just keep doing what you're doing, and we're getting more and more followers. I'm one of them, and I'm bringing other people on too. So
right, yeah, we're growing in leaps and bounds. We are really growing fast now. We're starting to really move, so things are happening. So, okay, thanks for calling.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you.
Night.
Bye now. Night, everybody. God bless you.
Good Amen. Night. Godspeed. Okay, next caller we have is, 631. It looks like it's coming from the island there, 631. And then 203 is our last caller. 631.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, good evening, John and company.
How you doing?
I just wanted to affirm, I hear a lot of people who are somewhat afraid of what's coming down the line, and they're sort of projecting fear models, and I think we have to really hold together everyone and be totally in trust and faith and guidance and not project our fears because that unravels the network.
Amen.
And I agree. So anyways, I just wanted to say that, and I compliment you and this wonderful man that was talking before. Because he was, coming from the heart and also talking about truth and the possibilities. We don't want to undermine our potential by projecting fearful and negative things. It's okay to discuss them, but that one man, he was very intent on trying to project his military thing, whatever that was, and sort of lost himself in his disempowerment. So let's keep on being empowered. I'm so excited about what's going on, and I see us as a huge network of light, like a spider web of light
yes.
across the United States and moving into Europe and moving into Australia and everywhere. It is so powerful, and we are so guided. We just have to stick with it and not get afraid.
That's right. We don't have time for fear. We need to succeed. We just don't have time for fear.
Absolutely.
And as long as we succeed, we don't have to worry about fear. But if we don't do anything, we better worry about fear.
Of course. But you know, let's not focus on the fear side. Let's focus on what we can do and not what they could do, because they could think up stuff from morning to night. But,
correct,
you know, we don't have to buy into their stuff. We are more of us. They're more of us, and we are more powerful because we are much more conscious than they are.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good night, my dears.
All right. Good night. Thank you. Okay, last caller for the evening, 203. It looks like you're coming in from Connecticut. I think I dropped you. Did I drop you before?
I think you did, John, but I don't think it was deliberately.
No. My hand hit the button, and you went.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I guess you know who it is. And
yes, I do.
Okay. How are you, John?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
All right, I guess. Okay, so I guess I came on in the call late. The thing, the court, the hearing is still scheduled for the 7th?
No, it's scheduled for the 22nd now, 2-2, April 22nd, and we'll confirm that later this week. We're fighting over that with the court.
Oh, so they pulled a fast one or something?
Yeah, they did something that they never did. I've never heard them do before, and that is they pulled the number out. What did they call it? They rescinded the index number. I've never heard of that in my entire life, and they had no reasoning behind it, of course. So these people just continue to commit more and more crime. It's got to catch up with them. They got to realize it's going to catch up with them, and it's gonna. And hopefully, it'll catch up to them tomorrow with the sheriff.
Tomorrow with the sheriff. What's going to happen
right
tomorrow with the sheriff?
Well, I'm not going to go through the whole thing because we spoke about a lot of it tonight, but you'll be able to go back up online and listen to tonight's program, and you'll get the whole thing. And also there was an emergency program that we put out that's up there from in the middle of the week.
Oh, well, I think I was there. I was there during the Thursday, and then it was either Wednesday or Thursday, and then there was one Friday. I was there. I attended all of that.
Right. Yeah, Friday. And so we're not going to be able to meet the 7th, so we decided to move it to the 22nd. We couldn't move it in between because of Passover and Easter coming through.
Okay, and is that still 9:30 in the morning?
It'll be 9:30 in the morning on the 22nd, and that's tentative. It'll be confirmed. As soon as we can confirm it, we'll be getting emails out, and we'll be talking about it next Monday. So we anticipate to confirm that this week.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Okay. All right. I guess that's it for the callers. Got to say goodnight to everyone. Thank you for coming in. Lord bless everyone. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And we will get word out to everybody this week, as soon as we know what's going on, and as soon as we can do an absolute confirmation on the 22nd, we will do that by email. And obviously, the next Monday, we'll be talking and confirming that. So, thanks for everybody for coming in tonight. And again, you know, speak to those people who aren't coming to this meeting. Our meetings are growing pretty good. We are getting a good amount of people coming online. And I don't know the total numbers tonight, but I know, I think it was last week, it was like 332 people that came into our program. So we are really starting to move up there. And we need to build that up more and more and more. So, those state leaders particularly, but anybody, you should be talking to other court organizers about coming to this Monday night meeting. And, of course, if they can't make it, they can listen to the recording up on our Monday call page. Okay, with that, good night. Thanks for coming. Bye.